change about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
No, I'm gonna get high tonight, though. I'm gonna get very high tonight. I'm gonna get so f***ed up tonight! I'm like mother Tupac!
Now remember, we are live, so no swearing or they will cut you off.
What about arse?
What?
Is arse a swear word?
Arse, yes, it's a swear word.
No, it's not.
F word, MF word, S word, G word, D word, GD word.
And now.
Are we there yet?
No.
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 Are we there yet?
You little.
Oh, I think we're there.
Woohoo! Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean. Good.
How are they?
I'm quick.
Yeah, you are quick. That's for sure. What is going on? What's new? What's happening? What's the latest? How are you guys doing on your Christmas shopping?
Oh, terrible. You and Ralph, that was easy. I keep thinking of new things for you and Ralph.
Yeah.
All you other people are hurting my brain.
Hurting your brain?
I have no ideas this year.
Kevin never believes me when I tell him this, but he's incredibly difficult to shop for.
But you always give me something I love.
Well,
Bean's really a good gift giver.
We all try, but you're not a guy who outwardly has a ton of interests.
Yeah, I don't. You know? I'm not a collector.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That takes a lot of stuff away.
I don't think I'm going to give you something you like, and I'm not going to care this
okay.
year.
Okay. All right. I can accept that.
Okay, good.
My dad is literally the hardest person in the world to buy for because he does nothing, is interested in nothing, goes nowhere,
all right.
Has no interests, no hobbies. He doesn't read anything. He doesn't watch anything. He doesn't like anything.
What does he do?
Wow.
I don't know. I thought when my dad retired years ago, I thought he's going to do crazy stuff. He's going to travel and he's going to learn a language and paint and join clubs. And I don't know. I had no idea. Just throw out a million ideas because you have all this time to do things. He does none of that.
Wow. Well, you got to wonder, like, it's 11, it's noon, it's 1.
What does he do?
What does he spend his time? Exactly. And, you know, I've tried things in the past because he's basically in his house most of the time, and I'll, you know, get him a subscription to something. He's like, yeah, I don't really have time to read that. You know,
what about like puzzles or something?
Doesn't like puzzles, doesn't read books at all. So I've tried a number of magazines, newspapers, things like that. No, I don't really have time. Don't have time? Is he running like a sex ring? What's he doing?
He's doing something, Bean.
By the way, and this comes right straight to you, Bean, as you don't have anything to do all day long, and you tell us you're too busy
to do.
No, I know, but
I really do, though.
But that's what your dad says. He has no time.
Right.
But I can tell you I have a billion things that I read and watch and listen to. I mean, it's a matter of just squeezing it into my free time. My dad has no job, remember, and has nothing but free time, yet still does nothing.
But he says to you he's too busy.
Too busy. Yeah, too busy. Yeah, I don't have time to read all that. Which may be his polite way of saying I'm just not interested in that subscription.
Maybe
you got
it's just
me or that magazine.
Hot and cold running chicks. Just whores.
He is in Vegas.
You know?
He is in Las Vegas. That's true. Maybe get that Social Security check comes and he calls the whorehouse.
He's Debbie at 10 and then, you know.
Finds out. I would just hire
Heather at 10:30.
The new girl is. Whoever the new girl is that week, I would just have her come out, you know?
Yeah. So.
Pay for that. I gotcha.
Anyway, it is tough, and I know that's why Christmas is stressful for a lot of people, is because now you've got to figure out all the people in your life and what you can possibly get them that they don't already have or something that they would want.
Right.
It's tough. Hey, do we have time for a quick story that I burn all my time here?
No, go ahead.
I love this so much. We haven't heard much about bath salts lately. It seems like they were hot in the news for a while. And refresh my memory. With the bath salts stories that we heard, if somebody's on bath salts, they're practically a zombie, Walking Dead style, right?
I mean, they like hallucinations and everything. Yeah, they're
Super strength and motivation.
Don't they eat people's face off?
They eat people's faces. I mean, they F you up, right? You don't want to be on the receiving end of a guy on bath salts.
Nope.
Well, here's 38-year-old Charles Smith, who wrecks his car in League City, Texas, a couple of nights ago, ends up upside down in a ditch. 5:45 in the morning, he's not hurt because he's on bath salts. So he's, you know, Superman. He gets out of his car with his loaded shotgun and goes to the nearest house and smashes the door in.
Wow.
He's decided he's going to break into some dude's house on bath salts with a rifle. Well, unfortunately for Mr. Smith, it was the home of a former bull rider, a 79-year-old named Irvin Britnacker, who
Love
apparently
it.
Is the coolest guy in the world.
Love it.
Who hears a ruckus at the door, walks to the door, he tells the news, I saw a young man holding a gun. I used to own a nightclub, and I knew it was never a good idea to talk to people holding guns. So 79-year-old Mr. Britnacker throat punches the suspect and karate chops the side of his neck. The guy goes down cold.
Love it.
In 1 second.
That's impressive.
Is he Bruce Lee? What's happening?
He looks like Clint Eastwood. Mr. Britnacker calls the police. They arrive. The guy is still out cold. They arrest him. He's in jail, Galveston County Jail, being held on bond for $40,000, charged with attempted murder and burglary of a habitation. How crazy. Attempted assault, excuse me, and burglary of a habitation. How awesome is that, though? I mean, wrong place, wrong time for bath salts, dude.
You went to the wrong house.
Yeah. Guy's 79. He used to own a nightclub. He used to be a bull rider.
I can just about walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Still lives by himself on 25 acres, by the way. Still works the tractors, takes care of his fields, bales his own hay.
Is he single?
What's happening?
Yes, he is.
Kidding.
He's a man.
He sounds like your perfect man, doesn't
he? He does.
A little young for you, but I mean, I'm just saying. So that's a great story. You know, we have so many stories in the news these days where somebody shows up with a gun, like the, you know, tragedy in Kansas City over the weekend with the football player. Somebody shows up with a gun and you know, someone gets killed. I love that this story had a happy ending.
This guy is the most interesting man in the world.
Yes. Yeah,
he's pretty incredible.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bijo, shall we?
Wow.
That's a strong.
I don't know if that's on the schedule, but that's a great idea.
It's a strong chant right there.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to BJ Penn from the UFC, talking about the UFC on Fox, which is Saturday night.
Okay.
Very excited about that. We have Adam Carolla on the program, This Week in Rage. Yeah. We have another chapter of Trapped in the Closet by R. Kelly.
It's so good.
He crazy. And here's the weird thing about R. Kelly. He's way successful, right, Bean?
Yeah, he is. He's very much so, yeah.
And this particular project, this Trapped in the Closet, is a joke. I mean, no one takes
it
seriously.
It's the worst thing he does.
By far, though.
Yeah, it's the worst thing he does. It is weird that he has an actual real-life pop and R&B career with hit records and sells a lot of records. And then on the side, he does this. It's kind of a goof thing.
No, it's a passion project.
It's terrible.
It is a passion project for him. You're right. But it's embarrassingly bad. I mean, it makes a lot of people think worse of him as an artist because he's capable of such crap.
That's correct. Capable of such crap is my autobiography, by the way. I hope you all pick it up. Nancy from Zeta Talk. It's been a long time. The world is ending, people.
Hey, we're in the last week, she says.
The world is ending.
She says, screw NASA. They just don't want to tell you about the planet that's hurtling toward Earth is going to destroy the world in the next couple of weeks.
Sure, which she's been saying for 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah, she has.
Thanks for that info, Bean, on the program today.
How dare you.
Would you like to take that back on the program today?
Yes, I would.
And Judd Apatow on the show as
well.
Wow. Talking about This Is 40. Plus your tickets to the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. So stick around for all that. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
You know, when we catch up with our friend Nancy from Zeta Talk in a few minutes, she's going to tell us about the planet that's going to hit the Earth and kill us all. I don't know what the time frame is on this, but this could be Ralph's final Showbiz Beat ever.
If a planet hits us in between now and the next one?
Yeah.
Are we expecting a direct hit this next hour?
Well, Nancy from
Zeta
Talk.
That's what we're going to find out, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're in the last weeks. I don't know if that means we know exactly when it's going to happen or it's going to happen sometime in the next 2 weeks. I mean, that's why I'm just concerned. I'm kind of looking at everything as our last ever. So let's make it good. Let's give 110%, people. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't see that happening.
Let's leave it all on the field.
Yeah. I'm going to leave it all in the locker room. Let's talk about showbiz news. This was shocking to me. Shocking. Malcolm in the Middle star, Frankie Muniz. You remember cute little Malcolm?
Sure.
Now is, I think, a race car driver. That's what he does for a living. Was taken to the hospital in Arizona last Friday when he suffered what is being called a mini stroke.
Really? How old is he?
He turns 27 years old today.
Wow. That's usually an old person thing, isn't it?
Yeah. He put on his Twitter account, not fun at all. Have to start taking care of my body, getting old. You're 27.
Wow.
You're not Malcolm in the middle age. You're just Malcolm. Wow, that's weird. That is, he must have something up. He got to have something more than just age when it comes to that, right?
I don't know.
He always struck me as one of those dudes who had like one of those diseases.
Did he?
Yeah, he just looked
a dude that had a disease.
He looked off like he had, what is that, progenia, whatever that thing's called.
The thing where you look real old?
Yeah. He always had like a strange kind of alien head and stuff. And everything. I just thought he was off. Maybe he's an alien.
Eyes are bugged out. He does look a lot older than 27.
Yeah. It's all bonkers. His eyes are all bonkers.
That's true.
Bonkers.
His eyes are bonkers. Big buggy bonkers eyes. Big baby buggy bonkers eyes.
Bonkers.
That's what I'm saying. Forbes magazine has just crowned Eddie Murphy.
As what?
As Hollywood's most overpaid actor.
Okay, I was going to say.
I love this list. They do this every year. They take a look at stars of movies, what they're paid versus what the profit is earned on their films.
Okay.
And they do a ratio. For example, this is the 10 worst list. Sarah Jessica Parker. For every dollar that she gets paid, her movies only make $7.
Okay.
That's not a good ratio if you're a producer and you're trying to make a profit. You know what I mean? You don't want to have to pay out 1/7 of your entire nut for an actor.
Yeah,
there's other people you have to hire, right? There's crews and location fees. I mean, there's tons of costs when it comes to making a movie. If you're paying 1/7 of your entire money-making potential out to one person, that's a bad business model, right? She's 10th on the list. Ben Stiller makes $6.50 for every buck that he's paid. Denzel Washington's films return $6.30 for every dollar that he's paid.
No kidding.
Adam Sandler, who you'd think would be super high ratio,
that's
right?
What I would have thought.
$6.30 for every dollar he gets paid, his movies make $6.30. Nicolas Cage returns $6 for every dollar. Jack Black returns $5.20 on every dollar that he's paid. Sandra Bullock, $5 for every dollar she's paid. Reese Witherspoon, only $3.90 for every dollar she gets paid.
Wow.
We're getting close to a 1-on-1 ratio, which is not ideal.
And again, that just means you're horrendously overpaid. They're shelling out, in Reese Witherspoon's case, you know, $15, $20 million to get her in a movie that clearly isn't returning for them.
Right. Katherine Heigl, second on the list. She gets back $3.40 for every dollar that she gets paid. But Eddie Murphy's the king. His movies only make $2.30 for every dollar that he gets paid.
Wow, that's a huge difference between number two even.
So whatever you pay him, you can only expect to make twice that amount of money at the box office. You can't do that. You can't pay 50% of what you're going to make back on your film to one actor.
How long does it take usually for an actor like that? Because usually it'll get back in line, but it takes a while. It takes a few movies.
Look, he's had, how many bombs has he had in a row? When's the last time you saw a hit Eddie Murphy movie?
But then why are people still paying him that kind of dough?
I have no idea.
Huh.
Because Hollywood is dumb.
All right. I can accept that.
This was fascinating. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but Nick Lachey was thrown out of the Chargers-Bengals game last weekend.
Because?
According to TMZ.com, he made a few extremely offensive comments to a Chargers fan. He's a Cincinnati Bengals fan. He's from Cincinnati. They were on the road in San Diego. He was down there for the game.
Right.
Got to an altercation with another fan, made extremely offensive comments, grabbed another fan by the throat.
All right.
And tossed him to the ground.
They're used to that with the Raider fans, but not with Cincinnati.
Not with Bengals fans.
Not with a kid from a boy band.
Even the Bengals swaddling. Don't throw people to the ground.
That's true.
The team.
His representative says it was simply a verbal exchange between sports fans of opposing teams that went too far. Lachey tweeted this week he couldn't be prouder than to be kicked out of the game and bragged that his Bengals still won.
Couldn't be prouder than to be kicked out of the game.
Congratulations. And Taylor Swift is being all hoary again. Tadoff Swindler has got a new boyfriend, Harry Styles from One Direction.
Yeah.
E! News is
the bean.
Yeah.
The guy just seems like a twerp.
I thought this was my chance. E! News is reporting that they spent some quality time singing Backstreet Boys karaoke.
Oh, dear God.
Backstage at the One Direction show at Madison Square Garden.
Bean, there's virtually nothing for you to hang your hat on with your love with her. Just, it doesn't make any sense. Every story is negative.
I don't know. I don't know what to say about this one. I got to almost agree with you.
And they were walking, spotted walking hand in hand back to Tadoff Swindler's hotel at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
She was getting ready to give it up. Give it up for Harry Styles, everybody.
They were singing karaoke at the after party after the One Direction Madison Square Garden concert. That's where all this was happening. But I don't get it. I don't get this Harry Styles kid. I'll tell you. I don't like it.
I will tell you this.
Bean had much information on that particular story.
They were doing. He had the full dossier. Is that the private investigator you hired paying off when it comes to tailing Taylor Swift?
What songs did they sing, Bean?
Did you see? I want it that way. Did you see Eminem's daughter just furious on Twitter? She is in love with Harry Styles from One Direction. She's all over Twitter calling Taylor Swift a whore.
Good for her.
I like her.
Hilarious.
It's on.
She's right.
And what must that be like for Eminem to have his daughter, by the way, being obsessed with One Direction? That's got to kill him as a musician, doesn't it? Yeah.
That's what kids do to you, man. They turn on you. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. As I mentioned, Malcolm the Middle's Frankie Muniz is 27 years old today. Legendary rock and roll icon Little Richard. Little Richard, the man who almost single-handedly invented rock and roll back in the 50s. And our own Charles Security Guard was his drummer. Yes, we are working with rock and roll royalty.
Yes, we are.
Absolutely.
Little Richard's 80 years old today. Johnny Resnick of Goo Goo Dolls is 47. Comedian Margaret Cho is 44. Actress Amy Acker from Dollhouse and Alias turns 36 years old. Nick Stahl from Terminator 3 and Carnival, 33 years old. And actress Jessica Pare from Mad Men and Hot Tub Time Machine is 30 years old today.
Berenice Marlowe, you're French. Do you know Jessica Pare?
She's French-Canadian.
Never been more embarrassed in my life. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Judd Apatow on the program today. He's a comedy legend, that guy, isn't he? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes.
Body of work that he's got. Got him next hour. Also, Adam Carolla in the 8 o'clock hour. And we'll talk to UFC fighter BJ Penn. That's all on the way here on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know that we have time for this feature, though.
Bean has Asperger's.
Yes.
As much as I'd like that to include a B, it's a P, unfortunately. But he does have Asperger's, and it's basically he has no social skills of being able to tell if anybody else is interested in his conversation or not. So he'll just start talking and just take for granted everybody's interested and he gets no clues back from people.
And then he just keeps talking.
Keeps talking.
And then he keeps talking.
Out of the blue, too. It's not like we're having a conversation and he adds to it or detracts from it. It's not being talked about. He just brings it up out of nowhere.
It's the best of both worlds. A guy who cannot edit himself, who has no idea whether his audience is appreciating his stories or not.
And has too much information.
Yes.
Which being
the perfect storm.
Reads everything. So we're trying to give him a little feedback just so that he understands, you know, it's leaving these reviewers cold. During the commercials, during the song, occasionally Bean will say something. The rule in the studio is do not respond. Do not engage him because he'll think that you're interested in it when clearly you're not.
And if you open that Pandora's box, we're all screwed.
Then we're screwed. And we call it...
That's that info bean!
For example, and I write these down verbatim to make sure that I get them right. Did you guys see the world's largest Great Dane on TV yesterday?
You know,
sure.
That's info bean!
Compton Miss largest. You guys know that.
But seriously, did you think any of us may have seen that?
Yes. Yes.
Why?
I thought you might have seen that.
Yeah, we have lives, some of us. We
all of us
do
have
things.
Dogs, though. We're all interested in dogs. This is the biggest dog in the world.
Did you see the world's largest dog
on
TV?
Did they break into regular programming and do a special bulletin on it?
I think he was a guest on the Today Show.
Then I didn't see it.
That's that info bean.
You know his love for Taylor Swift.
Oh, jeez.
Taylor Swift is filling up my DVR.
Oh.
No one said anything. Pause. Man, she's on everything. Really, we didn't get that from the first sentence.
She had a busy promotion.
That's that info bean.
Glad she didn't push
that info bean.
Glad she didn't push World's Greatest Great Dane off your TV, though. But there's still room for both of those.
Now, here's one of my favorites because Bean brings up a question out of the blue, and then one of us answers, and then Bean just discounts it completely. Okay? He's a Christmas music lover.
Mm-hmm.
So this was said in this order. Do I need the Rita Coolidge Christmas album? Now, we weren't talking about Christmas music or anything.
You weren't talking about Rita Coolidge?
No, no. I wasn't a hotly debated
just
Rita
Coolidge. Just the day before we had.
Rita Coolidge.
So Lisa, knowing what she does about Bean, that he gets every CD that is Christmas music related.
Right.
Actually responds. Lisa says, yes. I'm sure just...
Yes.
Yeah, you...
Completely.
Okay, what?
Yes,
and then Bean comes
that.
Back with... I don't think so.
Oh, man.
Well, then why would you bring it up? If you don't think you need it, why would you ask us who don't care if you get it, whether you need it.
The decision's been made. Why bring it up?
That's right, Info B.
Ass indeed.
I can't help you there. Sorry.
This happened a couple days ago. But by the way, what about Kate Middleton and Prince William being pregnant? Long pause. No one said anything. What about that?
Re-asking does not engage us.
In my defense, that was a couple days ago, the morning that the news broke.
So
we had not discussed
what about it? What are we supposed to say?
Wow, they sure did have sex and fertilized an egg.
Even if we cared, what would we say?
We didn't care.
Don't get us wrong. We didn't care. But even if we did.
But how is that different than millions of other people around the world saying to their coworkers, their friends, their families, hey, you hear the Kate's pregnant? It's just, it was news.
That
it
didn't happen.
All those people would know not to say it to us.
That's right. Yeah.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Can I tell you guys a boring story? That's how this one starts.
Unreal.
I say
he knows it's boring.
I say no. He continues. I tried Tabasco sauce for the first time. No one said anything. I had it on eggs and rice. Nothing.
Oh, dear God.
So good. Nothing. Why didn't you guys tell me how good Tabasco sauce is?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
That happened. That exchange happened.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what, all by himself.
What out of all those empty pauses made you think that you should keep going with that conversation about the fact that you finally tried something everybody else has tasted?
I think I was just shocked. Look, we've all had experiences where there's something we tried very late in life, right? It's happened to all of us. And then you're amazed that you've been missing out on it all
but
these years.
But you trying Tabasco sauce is not conversation.
I think I was just shocked at how awesome it is and how nobody had ever encouraged me
be
to try
shocked
it
by your goddamn self. That's what happens to me. If I try something I never tried before, I go, wow, that's pretty good. I'm going to put that in my list of things that I will eat.
And how do we?
I don't tell anyone.
How do we in the room know whether you've tried Tabasco sauce or not? We're supposed to recommend it.
I don't know.
What the F?
I don't have the answer to that.
And finally, hey, did you guys see that scientists are teaching a robot to play ping pong?
F you. F
that's
you.
That info beam.
And your one kidney.
F me, not the robot.
That's that info beam.
How ironic is that song when we were about to talk to Nancy Kinzada?
Everything's not going to be all right. That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
It's been a lot of talk leading up to, you know, the end of the Mayan calendar, the December 21st, 2012. A lot of people have been weighing in as we get dangerously close to the year and the date that a lot of people thought the world was going to end. But you know what? I don't believe any of them because I don't believe anything about the end of the world until I hear it from our girlfriend, Nancy Leader from Zeta Talk, because that, to me, is the definitive site to go to for all your end-of-the-world needs. We've been talking to Nancy for many, many years, and we are happy to welcome her back to the Kevin and Bean Show, perhaps for the final time, if her prediction is true.
Oh, no, Nancy, we've got time. We've got time. Hi, listen, you started in 2003, had me on a number of times, and most recently, 2011. I've been on a lot, but I want to tell you, you should be ashamed. NASA senior people told you not to listen to Nancy Leader. They told you that last November 11th, 28th, when they had their NASA event. They said, Nibiru, Planet X does not exist. Don't listen to that woman from Wisconsin.
Now, Nancy, if you just hold on for 1 second, we'd just like to give a proper introduction. Nancy, for those of you that don't know her, does talk to aliens. And the aliens give her information about this Planet X, which is going to destroy the Earth.
No, it's going to pass by and rip it up.
Rip it up.
Destroy it. Right.
So it's not going to hit us, but it's going to get close enough that it's going to screw up our orbit, and the pole shift that you've been telling us about for so long is what's going to happen then, right?
It's much closer now than it was when I talked to you last.
Now, Nancy, does it bother you at all that when in 2003 when we had you on? I mean, it was every time we have you on, there's an urgency of this could happen within a week or two.
Yes.
And yet it's 2012, almost 2013, and nothing you've talked about has come true.
Oh, well, that's not true. All these predictions that they've made, they do come true. They take a little longer. You know,
and by a little longer, you mean they haven't happened yet.
Well, in 2003, they said that Planet X would come into the inner solar system, and it did, right on time, right on the track, they said. People were watching it come in, and it's been creeping past the sun. It hasn't made the outbound swing yet. And that part hasn't happened, but that doesn't mean it won't.
When Nancy says they, she is talking about the Zetas and or the aliens who are giving her this information.
And you can see this guy on the Soho and stereo images from NASA, and people are taking pictures like crazy. The moon swirl orbs are around the sun. You can see second sun at sunrise and sunset. And if you use the insert from a floppy disk, a red filter, which filters four red,
right.
Ooh, can you see
oh,
it then?
Man, I'll bet.
Oh,
yeah. It's crazy.
That's beautiful.
Right.
Nancy, this Planet X or Nibiru is a real thing that we know exists. Astronomers agree with you on that. It's just a degree of how much it impacts Earth that I think you have a disagreement on. What's the orbit that it's on? How long does it take to go around
peculiar orbit. It's a sling orbit. You know, it's not around and around. Like, our moon goes around us and the planets go around the sun. It has it slings through the solar system and then it slings back.
And it takes thousands of years, though, right?
Yes, 3,657, or the 3,600-year shar, as the ancient Sumerians called it.
And do you have an approximate date where you think it will get closest to the Earth and do the most damage to us?
They won't give us the date, and nor will any other valid connection with aliens or angels or whatever, because the date is not to be known, as Jesus said, for my second coming. The reason for that is the Earth is your spiritual schoolhouse. You are supposed to be kind of taken by surprise on some of these things.
Nancy, I forgot. I'm sorry, because it's been a while since we've talked to you, but where did you get your degree in astronomy?
Well, everything comes from the Zetas. I have only a high school degree. But the amazing ability of the Zetas to say and explain scientific precepts, which NASA and other scientists later say, oh, we now know, blah, blah, blah. And it proves, like they talked about, you know, how the whole solar system is in the grip of a magnetic influence outside, and that the sun is perpetually pointing north and south, the same as the Earth. And NASA has the sun flipping, you know, which it doesn't do.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I agree.
Probes. But NASA's just recently come out, we have like a ribbon that goes past the solar system, and it's magnetic. And that's what the Zetas were describing all along.
Do you believe that NASA is part of a worldwide conspiracy among governments to not reveal the truth to the citizens because and the reason would be because they think we will panic? Is that why, Nancy?
Yes, and exactly. They would rather have you buying real estate on the coast, going to your job, you know, not pulling all your money out of the bank and going to the hills and living, you know, off chickens and goats. And
how long ago did you do all those things?
In 1999, I moved from the San Andreas in San Francisco and went to central Wisconsin.
Okay.
And planted, you know, herbal garden and buckwheat and amaranth and grew seeds and the like and kept.
How come you haven't been on Doomsday Preppers?
Well, they're covering that pretty well. I don't have so much energy anymore. I'm 72 now this coming spring.
Wait, the world's going to end. What do you mean you don't have energy?
Well, I did a lot of that, and I still do. In my newsletter, I talk about eating kudzu. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding you. And rats and rodents make they're good protein.
You eat rats?
I've never eaten a rat, and I've never eaten a bug either.
Why would you say that then?
She's preparing for what she has.
I am telling you what you need to do.
Okay.
Change your attitude.
Nancy, you know, is there a Mr. Nancy, a Mr. Zeta talk?
I've been married twice, and my most recent husband is still in San Francisco. He knows he's going to die, and he doesn't care.
I see.
Here's what I don't get. If we're all going to die, what does it matter where you move to?
You're not going to all die.
Just on the 90% coast.
90% of the population is going to end up dying either from drowning or, you know, crashing cities. 50% of the people in the world live in big cities, usually along coastlines or river bottoms, and all of this is going to come crashing down. And
give us a guess. We're running a little late. Give us a guess then when this is all going to come crashing down.
It's not so much the date as what you should look for. There's the last week's run 2 months, and it includes 3 days of darkness for the northern hemisphere, severe wobble, where they'll be sloshing 200 to 300 feet up and down the coast, north and south.
So we'll have time, and then I'll be able to make my way to Wisconsin and bang it out with you before the end of time.
We're not in the last weeks right now, though, right? We're not there yet.
No way. And it'll occur in a December, an August, or an April.
Or any of the other 9 months.
But we don't know which year.
I
we
see.
Don't know which
Oh,
trimester.
I see. I thought it was more urgent than that, Nancy. Okay.
No, it's well, not. But it's urgent that you learn how to garden.
We, yes, absolutely.
Yes, it is. I agree.
If there's if one take... message take away from today's Gavin and Bean show. That's it. All right, let me give out Nancy's information if you want to follow this fascinating lady with this important topic. ZetaTalk.com, Z-E-T-A, ZetaTalk.com. And, of course, you can follow Nancy on Twitter at NancyLeader1. Always great to talk to you. I can't believe it's been almost 10 years since we first had you on, Nancy, but I'm sure we'll do it again soon if the world doesn't end first. Okay, my dear?
All right. Thank you for having me on.
Bye-bye.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Do you think Nancy and I have a future?
I do.
I'd like to think we do.
I think so.
World famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 641.
Have a huge program still coming up, including director Judd Apatow going to be joining us next hour. Would you like to take that back on the program today? Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 26, Adam Carolla. So much good stuff. Right now, though, I'm going to tell you a name. I'll be surprised if either of you guys recognize this name, but it was very big in the news back in 2009. Richard Heaney is his name. Richard Heaney. Lisa, sound familiar at all?
It does not.
Never heard of it.
He is the father of Balloon Boy. If you recall the hoax where he pretended that his kid was in a helium balloon that went off into the sky and the whole world was transfixed thinking this poor kid was up there. That turned out to be a big hoax.
The kid was hiding in the house.
Yep, his kid was in the house. Kid's name was Falcon, by the way. I don't know if you remember that or not.
No.
But he was sentenced, Mr. Heaney was sentenced to 90 days in jail, ordered to pay $36,000 in restitution. So already we don't like this guy. Already we're suspect of this guy. But now he's back in the news because apparently, Kevin, he's an inventor. Apparently he has inventions. He, in 2010, invented something called the bear scratch, which is a post that you put up in your house so that you can scratch your back the same way that bears do in the wild on trees. That did not take off. That
really?
Not a hit.
I can't buy that now.
That didn't make it?
Dang it.
Last year, he created something called the Heaney Duty Truck Transformer, which is a pickup robot that can lift over 2,400 pounds, and you put it on the back of your truck, and it allows truck owners to load up and go within a few minutes. Apparently, he says that he has received orders for this. It has been license. He is currently taking more orders, but they are still building a factory model. So
right.
That one's not exactly out of the gate yet.
Forgive me if I don't believe every word that comes out of his mouth.
What? He's suspect?
Yeah.
Now he's got a new invention that is called Your Shakedown.
Your Shakedown.
And he has made an infomercial. And I know that we are predisposed to not think much of Mr. Heaney, but I got to tell you, I think this might be a pretty good invention. I'll let him from the infomercial describe how Your Shakedown works.
Remove the contents from any container in just seconds. I'm ready to enjoy my freshly cooked, juicy hamburger, only to find out I didn't buy ketchup and mayonnaise. I am not going to go into the store because I have Your Shakedown.
Okay, so here's what happens.
Mean?
What happens is you have a bottle of ketchup, a can, you know, bottle of mayonnaise or something like that, and you can't get... You can't get it out of the squeeze bottle or whatever, or the glass bottle even, because, you know, it doesn't work that way. You can turn it upside down and wait overnight to try to get it to collect at the bottom, but there's no way to get that last part of ketchup or mayonnaise or something or peanut butter out of a,
okay,
out of
so
a jar.
Okay, so it's mostly empty, but you can't get the rest of it.
You can't get the rest of it out. So what he's done is he has invented something that you strap the bottle into and you use a hand crank and it shakes the thing up super, super, super fast so that all of the contents that you're trying to get out of the bottle of the jar comes down to the bottom of it in seconds.
That's just stupid.
Is it stupid?
Yeah, because you can do that with your hand.
But it never works, though.
Yes, it does.
Your Shakedown removes ketchup, mustard, jelly, jam, mayonnaise, shampoo, hair conditioner, car wax, and even peanut butter in just 8 seconds. Every container in the house needs a good shakedown. Your Shakedown pays for itself in under 1 year. Order yours at yourshakedown.com.
So you already say you don't even need to sign up because you can do it with your own hand.
Well, A, yes, but B, he included peanut butter. Do you think this works with peanut butter?
Well, here's what happens is it straps in like this rubber. It looks like a car seat kind of, I guess, in that you strap it in but with kind of rubber bands and stuff. And then you turn this crank and it just shakes it super, super, super fast. So it kind of dislodges anything that's in the bottle.
Right.
Super fast, too.
Right.
Without having to, you know, wear your arm out to do it. I think it's
because your
idea.
Arm really does get super tired after that.
You know, this is stupid, but like this lotion and make your jokes now that I get it through your toes.
Yes.
I always end up leaving a bunch in the bottom because I can't get it out. And yeah, I shake it and shake it.
Are
and
you
shake
part of
it.
This?
And you throw it away.
And
you
then
end
I
up throwing
throw
away
it away.
Because you can't get it out. Look, I think this is a good idea. I think this is something that you could use. Here's the thing about Mr. Heaney, though. What do you suppose he's charging for your shakedown?
$9? $11.99?
What do you think? Because I'm getting like 30 cents out of the bottom of the bottle.
right, exactly. I don't know if you noticed at the end of his infomercial there, he said this pays for itself in a year.
Right, in a year.
In a year. He's charging $179 for
what?
Your shakedown.
That's insane.
That's for the home version. That's for the consumer version. The business version that he's trying to sell to restaurants, and I don't know how different it is. Maybe it's just designed to hold a bigger container or something like that. He's charging $359 for.
This looks like it's homemade. It looks like it's just a piece of crap.
It should pay for itself when you add in the gas it takes to drive to the store for the one item you suddenly ran out of, he said in an interview. I figured Americans do between 8 to 16 trips a year for things like ketchup, peanut butter, or shampoo that they run out of. So this is his big invention. I don't know if this is going to go the way of the Bear Scratch and the Heeny Duty Truck
Transformer. I do know that it's going to go that way.
I do know that, except for he will get one purchase, which is Bean's new Christmas gift.
Yes.
I don't know about that. $179, that may be a misfire, right?
Only by a little bit.
Dad.
Only by
Judd Apatow next hour. Would you like to take that back? Coming up as well. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a, is it Wednesday already?
Yes, it is.
It sure is.
Take it away.
Before I get to the new Showbiz news, I do have a quick retraction I have to announce vis-a-vis yesterday's Showbiz Beats.
Okay.
When I excitedly broke the news repeatedly.
Did you lie about yesterday?
That Bill Murray was going to be joining the cast of Ghostbusters 3.
Yes.
Oh, congratulations on that scoop, by the way, Ralph. You were the first to report that. Thank
called
you.
The middle
I wasn't
of the, night.
The first to report that, by the way. A lot of sources reported it. A lot of outlets reported it.
Happy to have that scoop on our show. It made us look good.
And it turned out that we were all victims of a so-called parody news site.
Like The Onion?
No, it's not even that good. It's something called superofficialnews.com or something else. Where they said, oh, we were just joking. That was one of our comedy stories. And the story was Bill Murray signs for Ghostbusters 3.
How's that
it's
funny?
Like, how is that a comedy? How is that a parody? Am I supposed to sense by reading that somehow that that's a wacky comedy joke?
So he's not in?
No, he's not in.
Oh.
But they ran that story, and a lot of regular news sources picked it up off the internet as a real story because it reads like a real story. And then they repeated it and so on and so on.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
Somehow it's his fault.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's right.
That's the only answer now.
This is the same website that reported that Bill Murray was doing the party tour. He was going to stay at people's houses and travel around and crash their parties and stuff. And that wasn't particularly funny either, but people bought that as well and thought that was real. And so it goes.
If you put out like semi-believable stuff,
it's not a parody. It's not really a joke.
Everybody will go for
it. And it just fools people. And I get the sense that that's what these people get off on, is having their stories repeated as if they're real.
Yeah.
So, apologies, but it is a bummer that Ghostbusters 3 apparently will be sans Murray, as they say in France.
Never heard him say that.
Oh. Now let's get back to real news that gets better. I told you last hour about Nick Lachey getting thrown out of the Chargers game last weekend.
Right.
When they played the Bengals because he got into an altercation with a... another fan there. He is a Bengals fan. He was apparently being extremely offensive.
You don't think of Bengals fans as being offensive.
No. Here's a great update from listener Troy, who has more details about the event. He said, it's actually funnier than you reported this morning. Nick was apparently a loud, obnoxious a-hole. He was spouting off about some specific Chargers player, saying rude and offensive things. The woman in front of him at the game turned around and said, well, he's going to have a longer career than your lame boy band.
Pretty good response.
According to witnesses, is when Nick Lachey lost control. He started going off and screaming obscenities at her. The woman's husband stepped in, and that's who Nick got into the headlock and forced to the ground. That's more details about that story. So apparently Nick Lachey a little sensitive about his lame-ass boy band years. As opposed to his current lame-ass career. Does he even do anything anymore? Does he record? Not that I know of. Does he host something? What's he got
going on? We talked about him earlier this week, Ralph. He has just been signed to host a new singing competition on television.
Ah.
That's right.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Amanda Seyfried received a birthday gift that a lot of women, I think, would like to have. She was enjoying a night in the town after the premiere of her latest movie, Les Miserables. When they surprised her with a birthday cake, and then she was serenaded and given a lap dance by Hugh Jackman.
All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Lisa's in.
That works.
Yeah, listen, got Lisa's attention.
Listen, I'm no Mo, but I'd go for a lap dance by Hugh Jackman. He's a stud, that guy. Have you seen the photos of him in the next Wolverine movie?
No.
It's ridiculous. Guy's in his mid-40s, and he's just shredded. Just in amazing shape.
And this is coming off of Les Mis, where he lost 30 pounds and just looked sick and dying.
Yeah.
He's incredible what he can do with his body.
He's a handsome fella. Well, a month after Cat Williams was detained on a gun charge, he allegedly hit a man on the head with a bottle. He slapped a clerk at Target. He assaulted some fans at a comedy club and got thrown out of a hotel. And also flicked a cigarette into a woman's eye.
Wow.
That's a month's worth of work right there.
Wow.
Cat Williams announced yesterday he's retiring from stand-up comedy.
Is that right?
Yes. Apparently, people didn't think his new material was all that funny. When you're putting out cigarettes in people's eyes and hitting them with bottles, I guess they don't get the joke.
This meltdown that Cat Williams had this past weekend happened in Seattle, and it was almost minute-by-minute news here. The crazy stuff that he was doing, thrown out of the hotel because he was smoking so much weed that everybody on the floor was complaining. He was throwing $100 bills out the window of the comedy club where he was to people down below. He just seems like he's lost it. Yeah. Like there's some sort of mental issue going on here.
He's gone bye-bye.
Yeah.
We won't have him to kick around anymore. He's not doing stand-up anymore. Damn.
I don't remember kicking him around.
What am I going to do with my tickets now? Right. I hope I can get a refund. Yeah, and this is disturbing news. Did you guys watch the new episodes of Storage Wars this week? They got new episodes on A&E.
Not interested.
Good ones. Oh, good ones.
You know why? Because it's about storage.
Down there in Compton. They got some good stuff out of Compton. You wouldn't think, but they did.
Now.
Yep.
Nope.
Bad news for Mr. Yep. A&E apparently upset with Dave Hester.
Yep.
Over the fact that he has not signed his contract. He is still balking at the money they're offering everyone. I think it's a Favored Nations deal where they all get the same amount of money to be on that show. And so he sent him the contract. He didn't sign it. Wouldn't send it back. So now they're locking him out of the program.
Well, that's going to be disastrous.
He won't be saying yup to audiences.
He's a tool, right, Ralph?
He is a tool, yeah. And they've got another big fat tool they brought in to kind of replace him. He's even toolier. So I don't think
he'll are you toolier?
He'll be missed all that much. But this may be a mistake on Mr. Hester's part. Because I can't see him going off to bigger and better things after Storage Wars.
It is Storage Wars, though.
Barry had a souped up, old man scooter.
Just couldn't care less.
It was great. It had, flames coming out the back and everything. And he was
firing around.
I should
kick your ass for wasting my time.
Dang, good Storage Wars this week. Today's,
where are you, Chuck?
Where was Chuck? Today's celebrity birthdays, Little Richard, legendary architect of rock and roll, 80 years old today. Johnny Resnick of Goo Goo Dolls is 47. Margaret Cho, the comedian? 44 years old today. Nick Stahl, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, Carnival, talented actor, 33 years old. Jessica Perret from Mad Men and Hot Tub Time Machine is 30 years old. And Frankie Muniz, you probably remember him as Malcolm in the Middle. Now he's known as the guy who had a mini stroke last week. Hmm. He's 27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
If you're lucky enough to have your tickets for the sold-out 23rd Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows this weekend, especially Saturday night, get there early because Alex Clare, I think, is second up, and he is great, the man who sang that song right there. If you don't have your tickets yet, we'll get a chance for you to win them 2 hours from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock.
First, it's time for a brand new edition of...
Would you like to take that back?
No.
Would you like to take that back?
No.
Tell me, would you take that back?
No.
Would you like to take that back?
No.
Would you like to take that back?
No.
Tell me, would you take that back?
No.
Well, if you get plenty of chances to answer, don't worry about that.
I'm giving you a blanket answer right now. Just move things along.
Well, let's see if it sounds as good in the cold light of day as it did when you said it at night.
This first one involves...
What night was I saying these things?
I don't know.
And where were we?
Put that in the file.
This first one involves both Ralph and Bean, as they did an alley-oop on this particular one. Ralph's doing the showbiz, and he's talking about birthdays.
She's 42 years old. Singer Debbie Gibson is 42. Yeah, 42. Only in your dreams. Richard Gere is 63 years old.
Come on. Ralph, she's trying to shake it up. File again.
Yes. Would you like to take that back?
You'd like to take that back.
No. You cannot say yes.
Are you kidding?
That was magic.
That's a way take it back, by the way. That's
would
a way
you both like to take that back?
All right, so Bean is a yes.
Absolutely.
I'm absolutely not.
Ralph,
only
that is a bad decision.
Only
yeah, we got it.
Dreams. I don't think you got it.
We got it.
That was one of her hit songs.
Bean is taking it back and you're not.
Well, live. He can do whatever he wants. It's America.
Here's another Ralph.
Just Stephen Jenkins of Third Eye Blind is 48. And Meatloaf!
Yeah!
Meatloaf!
Yay!
Meatloaf is 65 years old today. Oh, I would do anything for Loaf.
Oh, stop it.
Wow.
But I won't do that.
Put it in the file. I'll do anything for Loaf.
Would you like to take that back?
I didn't just use the title of his song. I used his name then in the title.
He would do anything for love, and you put Loaf there.
Polish it up and put it on the mantle.
Would you like to take that back?
Polish it up and put it on the mantle.
You're saying no again?
That's what I'm saying.
What?
Moving on.
Bean?
Bobby Brown arrested for a DUI again this morning. Law enforcement sources say there was a strong odor of alcohol emitting from Brown's vehicle. They asked him to perform a field sobriety test. He did not pass and was arrested on suspicion of DUI.
Ralph, isn't it his prerogative not to drink?
Oh! Oh, that hurts. Oh! Am I bleeding? Am I bleeding? I think I just got tagged.
Put that.
It seems like every little step he takes, he gets into more trouble.
Oh, someone just poured lemon juice into my paper cut.
Come on, man. Don't be cruel.
I can't write anymore.
About Bob Brown songs.
Back to you, Ralph.
Would you like to take that
back? I don't know. I'd like to
bring up, on the first one, he was drunk and he didn't take the test. And then you said, isn't it his prerogative to not drink? Which didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think I'll take it back. I think I'm going to take that one back as well. I'm not happy with me at all today.
That was a triplet. I thought that was pretty strong.
Take that one back.
Wow. You're a wuss.
Charles Schultz and his endlessly unfunny Peanuts characters. $37 million they made.
$37 million on the Peanuts gang. Although people tell me that the Peanuts character is still very active with the Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, right. Sure, yeah.
Apparently their presence is large there. And I think it's nice they opened up a theme park and dedicated to Don Knotts, because I think he didn't get enough acknowledgement when he was around. Why do they have a Mr. Furley ride? Do they have a Mr. Furley ride there?
That's a great reference, though.
Thank you.
File that.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, that was a bit of
stress. That one you have to take.
That was a bit of stress.
Who's ever heard of them?
It didn't make any sense whatsoever, really.
Fantastic. This one is for Bean.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Vanessa Manillo Lachey is 32 years old. Cisco! Cisco! Oh, Cisco. We got to get some thongy thong 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 song up for next hour. He's 34 years old.
I don't know him, but his kid was a friend of mine.
File.
Cisco's kid was a friend of mine.
Is there any point, though? Because we'll really be back.
File.
I hope they nick an artery.
Would you like to take that back?
I gotta be honest, I'm still proud of that one.
But Dean,
I'm standing by that one. I love it.
Let me re-ask the question.
Yes.
The reference for our audience.
Yes.
Would you say that was a direct hit?
It's a song by the band War from what, 1972?
About 75, I think. Would you like to take that back?
Even on the board.
Would you like to take that back?
I think that song is well known enough that a high enough percentage of our audience got it to make me feel good about saying it.
You, sir, are wrong.
I could be. I might be wrong, but I'm proud of that one. I'm not going to take that one back. I'm sorry.
Wow. You and Ralph, bad news today. Let's bring Brad Williams into the show. Hi, Brad.
Good morning, homeboys.
Brad filled in for Ralph recently when he was out with some personal days, and Brad decided that he needed to force his way into Would You Like to Take That Back? And he was doing a very, very sad story, but managed to make jokes about it as well.
Sad news for rocker Bon Jovi. His 19-year-old daughter, I don't know if you guys heard about this, his daughter suffered a heroin overdose in her college dorm room.
Oh.
She's okay.
Good.
She's in the hospital. Very lucky to be alive. But now the unfortunate thing is now that she's actually in possession charges. She faces possession charges.
Really?
On
top of that.
Cops have not gotten to her yet, so you could say she's wanted, dead or alive.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
Put that in a file.
Now, here's where Brad's not done yet, but Lisa tries to butt in, and I have to stop her because I can tell that Brad's loaded for bear.
Right. He's reading up the greatest hits album CD liner notes.
I was doing the right thing, though.
Yes, you were.
Okay.
All I'm saying is she thought she was going to...
Let him do it. He's going to do another one.
She thought she was going to get away with it. I think she was just living on a prayer.
Oh.
Heroin overdose. She got a hold of some bad medicine.
Oh, okay. Man.
I'm not saying another word.
Bon Jovi wanted to intervene, but she said, hey, it's my life.
That's all I'm going to say.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back?
You said it like you wanted to take it back. You said it with apology in your voice.
So that joke made you mad? Does that joke you like with your hands on it?
Look, this is a rare opportunity in show business to go back and clean up a mess here, Brad. You said it on the radio. You put it out there, but now you can essentially apologize to the listeners for it. It's up to you.
Listen, I think that joke went out in a blaze of glory.
Oh, man.
Well done, sir. Coming up, we have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yes, we do. Also, BJ Penn will talk about the UFC on Fox airing this Saturday night. Dave, our producer, tells us we're going to have Mr. Judd Apatow on the phone with us within about 30 seconds or so. Comedy legend. Listen to this guy's track record. As a writer or director or producer, these are some of the movies that he's brought us. 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, Superbad, Walk Hard, The Dewey Cox Story, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Step Brothers, Pineapple Express. I mean, I'm basically reading the DVD shelf at your house, Kevin, right now, right?
True. Yeah, all of them.
Funny People, Get Him to the Greek, Bridesmaids. Of course, he's the executive producer of Girls on HBO. The guy just does everything. And let's not forget Freaks and Geeks on TV before the big movie started. I mean, the dude is just a genius. And I'm very excited we're going to get a chance to talk to him here in a second.
Me too. That's going to be fun.
This new film looks so funny, by the way. It's called This Is 40, and this is kind of a follow-up to Leslie Mann and Paul Rudd, their characters from the film Knocked Up. You remember they were, you know, played the couple in that movie, and this is kind of to see where they are a couple of years later, and it just looks hilarious.
It does. It looks great and depressing for marriages
everywhere. Sort of does, yeah. Yeah, a little bit depressing. And if we had Judd on, we would ask him this, but it sounds like much of this came out of his real-life marriage with, you know, his beautiful actress wife, Leslie Mann, who's, you know, co-stars in the film. It sounds like this is a thinly veiled attempt to show what life is like at their house.
Which has to be a little insulting toward her, maybe.
Well, don't you think?
Yeah, but it's a job.
Yeah.
So there's that.
That's true. There is that.
That's always good. So.
So what else is going on?
I love Girls. Girls is coming back. In January.
All right. No more stalling necessary. Mr. Apatow joins us back on the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Judd, how are you, buddy?
I'm excited to be here. How are you doing, guys?
Very good. Thank you. Love you. We never get enough time with you. In fact, the last time we were supposed to have you on, you with your busy schedule, unfortunately had to cancel. You were promoting your book that was out at the time, that book that you wrote, you know, that collected all the great comedy stuff.
That's right. I found this funny, which you can get for Christmas. It's for charity. Has an old funny articles and cartoons and short stories I like. I have so much to plug, I don't even know where to start.
I know. And the only reason I wanted to bring up the book is because we didn't get a chance to talk about it at the time, but I did read the book ahead of that interview, and I felt like a dope because then you canceled. But it was hilarious, and I want people to know it's out there because if you have this comic sensibility of a guy like Judd Apatow, you will enjoy this book, and it's a great Christmas gift. All right.
Well, there's nothing worse than reading when you don't have to.
Right? That's what I'm
saying. That's true.
Let's talk about the movie. Right before you came on, we were saying that we had heard that a lot of the storyline for This Is 40 kind of came out of your real life with your wife, Leslie Mann, the beautiful actress in the film. And we were wondering if that has to be awkward, I would imagine, some of the real life problems that you might have. Now you're trying to, I don't know, trying to put it on the screen and make it fun.
Well, what's the purpose of a vicious fight if you can't make money off of it?
Right, but then later on when you're recounting the vicious fight, does she go, hey, this wasn't as much my fault as you're making it look? Was there any of that?
You know, a lot of what's fun about the movie is we're trying to show people at their worst. You know, like when you really go off the rails and lose your minds on each other.
Sure.
And but we're also trying to show that they're both kind of equally great people and equally flawed. But I do find it funny when you just go off the rails. I just think it's funny when, like you say, everything you've been holding in for months.
Yeah.
And I just find fighting funny. But it's also, you know, it's about family and recommitting to your relationship. And there's tons of funny people in it. Albert Brooks is in it, which is crazy.
And I wanted to ask you about that because, look, you're at a point now where I suspect, Judd, you could pick up the phone and get anybody that you wanted on the line. I mean, you're a big deal in Hollywood. But even you, as a fan of comedy, have to be in awe of working with a guy like Albert Brooks, right?
Well, I'm such a big fan of his. I had dinner with him when I was young. Me and Gary Shandling had dinner with him like in the early 90s. And I went home and I wrote down every single thing he said, every joke he made. He was making jokes about the Menendez trial. He was like, you don't kill your parents and then buy a Rolex. You don't just do that.
I was so happy to see him in this movie because he, you know, he was on that season of Weeds last year, and but it just doesn't seem like he works as much as I want him to because I enjoy him so much. But he looks awesome, and I also love in the trailer for This Is 40. And I don't think most married couples really consider killing one another, but I think the thought crosses their mind fleetingly, and I love that you explore that in the film too.
Well, what I try to do is just, you know, say the things in the movie that most people are thinking that they don't want to say out loud.
Right.
It's like, you know, long sequences of Paul Rudd fantasizing about what his life would be like if his wife died from a gas leak.
But he wants her to die in a peaceful way. It's not an angry thing.
No, there was actually a funny hunk that we cut out of the movie where he talked about it and about how, like, if his wife died, it was important that the police found the body, because if you don't find the body, then everyone expects him to look for it for the rest of his life.
We're talking to writer, director, producer, comedy genius Judd Apatow here on the Kevin and Bean Show about the film called This Is 40, which, by the way, ordinarily when we have an interview, it means the movie's coming out this Friday. That's not the case this time. When's the actual due date for This Is 40?
It comes out December 21st. People know that as the day the world ends on the Mayan calendar.
Sure.
Nice.
So my advice is see the matinee.
See it early, just in case. Just, you don't have time later.
The world might end more in a nighttime situation.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, Judd. There's a little bit of controversy on the internet these days with your old friend Mr. Skin. Have you been following this at all?
Someone mentioned this to me today. I don't quite understand it.
Well, Mr. Skin was saying, because I guess, you know, you kind of made his site blow up a few years ago with the reference in Knocked Up, but he was saying that there were rumors going around before this movie came out, maybe before even the screenings, that there was CGI nudity in the movie, that somehow the nudity that we see in the film, and I don't even know which character he's talking about, is not really naked, but it was something that was made up in special effects afterwards. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Well, we had to elongate Paul Rudd's member.
So it's seeable?
That takes work. You know, that's an expensive proposition.
Hey, if I could get someone to do that for me in a film, I would absolutely do it.
Exactly. But, you know, that's what it is. It's movie magic. I can't give away the movie magic.
Sure. All right. So we don't know. If we see boobs in the movie, I want to believe they're real. That's all I'm telling you, Judd.
They're the boobs of the characters in Star Wars.
Oh, good.
Fantastic.
Good. Excellent.
All right. In our final minute, we have to ask, because Lisa and I were talking about it right before you came on, how our favorite show on TV is Girls on HBO with your little friend Lena Dunham. We know it's coming back here in a few weeks. How did you see her movie and think this is somebody who has got the gold to go the distance and make a TV show as great as hers? It just seems like she was the find of the year last year.
Well, you know, her movie Tiny Furniture was really good, and she made it for $45,000, and you know, it was very personal. It starred her family, and you know, I like people who like are ballsy enough to work with their actual families in movies. And she's so nice and hilarious. The DVD of the first season comes out next week, and for those buying DVDs, even more importantly, the first movie I ever co-wrote, a Disney movie starring Ben Stiller called Heavyweights, comes out next week.
Wow.
On Blu-ray. And we found all these crazy deleted scenes of Ben Stiller yelling at children. So
love
please.
It.
Nothing says Christmas more than Ben Stiller yelling at children.
I was just saying, you literally could do nothing but Christmas shopping on Judd Apatow-related products this season and take care of everyone on your list, it sounds like.
Oh, my gosh. You get the new Vanity Fair as a comedy issue, which I edited. And it's all interviews with this big articles on Freaks and Geeks and Martin Short and the Blues Brothers, and Louis C.K. wrote for it and Lena wrote for it. So that came out today, and that's my favorite thing ever. It's like a comedy nerd's fantasy.
Judd, I know we're out of time, but you're going to have to come on more often so that you don't have to fit so much plugging into such a small amount of time.
It's kind of disgusting, but I will come on.
Okay.
But only if I could be on for like 2 hours. I'm not going
to.
It's either 6 minutes or 2 hours, and I could fully ride the whole train.
Okay.
This Is 40 is the film. It looks amazing. Coming out everywhere on Friday, December 21st. Our friend Judd Apatow on the phone here on the Kevin Beach Show. You're the best, man. Thank you for the time, and happy holidays to you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here to the program. We got more tickets for the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas that you can win again this morning with us just after 9 o'clock. Then you can win them at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. Details at KRock.com. Adam Carolla next hour. We're going to play Beat Beer Mug on the show today, which I love. My favorite game.
Love it.
And BJ Penn will be here talking about the UFC on Fox. That's all coming up. First, though, what would you say, Kevin, your level of interest is in William and Kate being pregnant?
Oh, so negative. Just so I don't care. I just couldn't care less.
Less than zero?
Less than zero, easy. I'm annoyed by the talk of it.
You know I have a soft spot for the Queen. I love Her Majesty.
I hate her. I wish her death.
I know you do.
Okay.
But I don't get the hoopla and the frenzy over the royal family. I get that they're, you know, celebrities in Britain. But here in America, even, it's the top story on all the entertainment shows. Like, why do we care that this baby that's going to be born in 6 months, who won't even take over the crown for 60 years, why do we care about that baby? I don't know.
Listen, you got me. I am so anti-crown, it drives me crazy.
Lisa, what do you think the thing is here? Is it that little girls love princesses? Is that what's going on?
I guess, but these are all grown-up people.
She's
that
not a
love
princess
it.
Bean. She has not been allowed to be called
That's
a princess.
True. She can't be. She's a commoner. Because
she's a commoner.
Well, maybe this is the answer for you, Kevin, because you have always said the only way you can enjoy baseball is if there's betting, if you can bet on, you know, what happens next.
Yeah, betting makes everything better, whether it's the Grammys, the Oscars, or any TV show you don't want to watch.
Right.
Bet on it makes it interesting.
There are tons of sites in the UK now where you can actually bet on everything having to do with this baby. This is just like going to Santa Anita. You can bet on the name. You can bet on the hair color, whether it's going to be a boy or a girl, obviously, how much it's going to weigh, who the godparents are going to be, what the kid is going to be when he or she grows up. I mean, you can actually cast a bet on whether this kid will be a professional soccer player or not.
You can't make most of those bets at Santa Anita, by the way.
No, you can't. Okay. No, you can't. But they have turned the royal baby into something that you can bet on. And I find this very difficult to believe, but in fact, it is true. So we asked producer Dave, could you please line us up somebody? I'm not sure who we have, but I think it's somebody from one of the UK royal betting houses that's on the line with us right now.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you? Hello.
Very good. Who's this?
This is Niles Crawford.
Niles Crawford.
Mr. Right. Crawford, who do you work for, sir?
I work for a brand new betting parlor known as RoyalBets.com.
RoyalBets.
RoyalBets.com. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. You heard what we were saying as we brought you on, sir, is that all around the world, there's a tremendous amount of interest in the Duchess being pregnant.
Oh, indeed. Yes, indeed. And we're allowing folks, of course, from your country as well as those in the UK to place wagers on a variety of different propositions regarding the birth of the baby.
What kind of stuff do people want to bet on?
The most popular bet, I would hazard a guess, is the name of the baby, what the baby will be named.
Okay.
Now, of course, the most popular names are those with royal lineage. Mary, Victoria, and John seem to be the favorites going off at 8-1 right now.
Okay.
Huh. Okay. And a lot of people are hoping that this will be a nod to, you know, Prince William's mother, Diana. I know that's one of the most popular names that people are talking about. Oh, wouldn't it be sweet if we named it after the late princess,
next
too, right?
The line is 9-1 for Diana, yes, which drops to 2,000-1 if it's a boy.
Okay.
Francis, Philip, Anne, Charles, George, all names, of course, with royal pedigree, also in the running. As you get further and further away from historical names in the royal family, the odds do get better. For example, Oliver or Frederick will net you 33-1.
Okay.
Chelsea, Wallace, Brian, all going up around 100-1. All the way down to Banjo being 750-1.
Say Banjo?
And the long shot Nipsey being 1,000-1.
Oh, they named that kid Nipsey. Oh, I'd be so happy. You could bet on the how much the kid is going to weigh,
yes,
what the hair color.
Hair colors. A lot of people are saying Ginger, of course, being the odds-on favorite due to the lineage, Diana, and of course the sons both being reddish.
Sure, sure, yeah. Who the godparents are? What are some of the other things? Because again, I know that this is, you know, it's big news here in America, but where you are, Mr. Crawford, it's just a frenzy. People won't stop talking about everything having to do with this kid.
We've just posted on the website a new list of potential proposition bets as of this morning.
Oh, great.
So if you want to get it on it early,
please.
Weight of the first poop. First royal poop.
Oh, really?
We will get that diaper and we will weigh the first poop over under being 3 ounces right now.
Huh, okay.
Depending on, you know, how big
you have anything else?
Middleton's boobs get.
Do you have anything else that we might bet on?
Yes. In lieu of teeth, will the baby be born with crooked gums or not?
Okay.
2-1.
That's interesting.
2-1 bet right now in favor.
Okay.
Due to inbreeding in the royal family, will the baby be born with a tail?
Right now, that's even money.
Even money?
Even money. Wow. That's a surprise to me. Okay.
Well, they've all got tails.
No, I had no idea. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
They all tails.
Who knew?
Will the baby, within the first 6 months, be dragged out of its crib by a jealous corgi? up at 6-1 in favor.
6-1.
Yeah,
the queen's got too many of that goddamn dog running around, doesn't she?
You may want to lay some money down on that. And going up at 3 this morning, will Queen Elizabeth devour the placenta in a black magic spell in a quest to live forever? That's 3-1.
Wow, you're taking that
3-1.
One.
3-1. Oh, wow.
She practices Santeria.
Is that right?
She's got a crystal ball.
I was not aware of that.
Shut those kids up! Oh, those kids always singing.
We come running. That's Youngblood Hawk on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:52.
Adam Carolla next hour, plus Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 26, ladies and gentlemen. Now that we met God in Chapter 25, I don't even know what to expect in Chapter 26.
Very emotionally upsetting, a very disturbing chapter of Trapped in the Closet.
All right, well, we'll find out. That's on the way in the next half hour here on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
I have got an amazing gift. This is something that any film fan would be happy to get for Christmas. And if you're a movie fan like I am, you're going to want to get the Tarantino 20 box set. Tarantino XX Blu-ray box set. These are 8 films selected by Quentin Tarantino himself to help show you the films that defined his early success. Here's what you get. Reservoir Dogs, True Romance, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill Volumes 1 and 2, Death Proof, and Inglourious Basterds. All in stunning high definition. Then you get 2 extra discs, which features over 5 hours of all new bonus material. So for the true Tarantino fan, this is a dream come true. Blu-ray box set, Tarantino 20, Tarantino XX. You will enjoy this. I've got 2 of these box sets to give away right now, but I don't just want to throw them out there to any Yahoo to pick them up. So I'm going to ask you a Quentin Tarantino trivia question. If you're a fan of his, this will be easy enough for you, and then you'll win your box set if you call it 1-800-520-1067. Here's the question. Quentin Tarantino has created a fictional brand of cigarettes that all his characters smoke in his movies. What's the name of the fictional brand of cigarettes that Tarantino's characters all smoke in his movies? Call right now if you know the answer. 1-800-520-1067. First 2 people with the right answer get the Tarantino 20 box set.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That is not a brand of cigarettes. That is almost the name of an actor. Good news. The Kardashians are being sued again.
All right.
Nothing makes me happier than when trouble befalls them.
Now what?
Well, they've got this Chroma makeup line. K-H-R-O-M-A.
Okay.
Kardashian Chroma. Everything has to start with a K in their world.
Right.
Well, they were sued a couple weeks ago by the Chroma Makeup Studio, that's C-H-R-O-M-A, for infringing on their trademark and copyright and affecting their sales by people confusing the Chroma line with the Chroma with a K line.
Sure.
Sounds legitimate. They were an existing makeup company with a similar name.
For many years before the Kardashians launched their makeup line. Now, a company called Chroma is also taking them to court. Not Chroma, C-H-R-O-M-A, but Chroma, K-R-O-M-A, which is another makeup line which has also existed for many years before the Kardashians released their Chroma with a K-H. The Chroma K-R are now suing them for copyright infringements and,
a lot of lawsuits on this one.
Concerned that it will confuse people with the line. So, I say death penalty.
Well, I don't think they haven't had the trial yet.
Well, they should, and it should be death penalty. Okay.
That you don't think I feel bad?
No. Barbara Walters feels bad. She's getting a lot of criticism.
How come?
A lot of people attacking her because she has released her list of 10 most fascinating people, her year-end list.
Yeah.
And she does it, ties it in with a TV special where she interviews them all. On the list this year, Seth MacFarlane. You could certainly make a case for that,
sure,
right?
Sure, of course.
Olympic gold medalist Gabby Douglas.
Sure.
50 Shades of Grey author E.L. James.
Sure.
British boy band One Direction. Even if you don't like them, you could see why they would be on the hit list, right?
Yeah, they made an impact, certainly, this year.
Ben Affleck, huge success with his Argo film.
Sure.
Governor Chris Christie of the state of New Jersey. Certainly a worthy
addition to that list.
Fat.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, also on her list. The one selection that perhaps people are unhappy with, Alana Thompson.
Who is?
Honey Boo Boo.
A dollar makes me holla, Honey Boo Boo.
Barbara Walters has listed her as one of the 10 most fascinating people of 2012. Honey Boo Boo. What's that interview going to be like on the special? Is she going to pretend to fall asleep? Or is she going to run around this soundstage? Or is she going to throw cheese puffs at Barbara? What information will we glean from this?
Her favorite foods are sketty and butter.
That's true. Can you argue that America is fascinated with her because of the success of that television show, at least, Ralph?
No.
No.
No. Why don't you just have a train hitting a pickup truck and say that's the most fascinating person of 2012? It's just a disaster. It's just a train wreck that people want to watch.
Yeah.
As a relief from their own mundane, humdrum lives.
You don't think she has a lot of insight into...
No, I'm not looking forward to that interview. I hope Hillary Clinton is waiting in the wings while they're filming that interview.
Just a minute, Hillary.
And then she just slaps Barbara Walters across the face. Ridiculous.
I feel sad.
And fat. You feel fat. 60 Minutes and Vanity Fair magazine has teamed up to poll its viewers and readers on what they consider the greatest sitcom of all time.
Greatest sitcom of all time.
Yeah. I've got the top seven here. I don't know why they didn't give me the top 10, but here's the top seven.
All right.
30 Rock, seventh on the list with 5% of the vote.
I think that's the funniest show on TV right now, currently, I'll tell you that.
I agree. It's pretty genius. Mary Tyler Moore Show, a classic, was sixth on the list. Arrested Development came in at number five.
I can't argue with either of those choices.
Well earned.
Those are both top five for me.
Now, on these other choices, look, you may be burnt out on them, but you have to try to separate your fatigue with these shows from the talent and then the writing and the performances that made them such a colossal hit.
Okay.
Cheers, fourth on the list. I would have to say yes.
Don't care about okay. Show.
You'd have to say it's one of the greatest sitcoms of all time.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Does it hold up or does that not matter?
No, I think it does hold up.
It does, and week in and week out, the writing and the performances on that show were unlike anything that was going on television at the time.
All right.
Friends, third on the list. Same thing. I know we're all tired of Friends, but we all got burned out on Friends and the mania over its final episode and that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But still, week in and week out, you had to watch that show and you laughed out loud watching that show.
Yeah, it may not have been off the air long enough for us to appreciate it yet. I have a feeling it's a show that we're going to love in about 10 years from now.
The Honeymooners, of course, one of the classics. Jackie Gleason as Ralph Crandon, one of the best sitcoms ever made. He sort of invented the format, really, more or less.
Okay.
Second on the list. What do you think number one is? Greatest sitcom of all time.
Emily Owens, M.D.
Yes, Kevin. Well done.
Is that it?
Mamie Gummer picked up her award this week.
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, indeed. Yeah. 22% of the vote said Seinfeld was the greatest sitcom ever on television.
You guys agree with that?
I think so.
I think they did something really unique.
I don't think we'll ever see another show like it, and we never saw one before it, so that may be what makes it so special. I'm just glad to see I Freaking Love Lucy isn't on the list. God damn that show.
You hated that show?
Goddamn show. Oh, this week Lucy wants to be in Ricky's show, and she does something harebrained and gets caught and has to apologize. Wah! F that show. All right, do we have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
I believe Rafi was the first one through on the phones. Rafi?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. What's the name of the fictional brand of cigarettes Quentin has created for his characters to smoke in his movies?
They are Red Apple Cigarettes.
Red Apple Cigarettes, that's right. Nothing goes down like a smooth red apple. Congratulations. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you just won the Tarantino 20 box set.
Awesome, thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations also to Raymond, who had the correct answer. Today's celebrity birthdays, Frankie Muniz from Malcolm in the Middle is 27 years old today, and he just had a mini stroke last week. The kid has
rough.
The kid has to cut back on the pizza. Something. He's clogging his arteries. Jessica Parra from Mad Men and Hot Tub Time Machine is 30 years old today. Okay, we know you like her.
I love her. This is Don Draper. Come on.
Nick Stahl from Terminator 3 and Carnival is 33 years old. Margaret Cho is 44. John Resnick of Goo Goo Dolls is 47. And Little Richard, legendary rock and roll icon, is 80 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Are we ready to do Chloe or Snooki? Or Snooki or Chloe or whatever we're calling it?
Let's call it Chloe or Snooki.
Chloe or Snooki. Good enough.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. And this week your choices are Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat.
Yeah! Now, you guys make fun of my tweets. This is Bean speaking.
Yours are bad.
Yeah, they're horrible.
But can you imagine following either Chloe or Snooki on Twitter? What would be the point of that?
Their tweets are all innocuous and lame and pointless. However, yours being are aggressively bad. they grab you by the lapel and
they attack you. They attack you.
Whereas these are just, or you could easily ignore these and it wouldn't really rattle you.
Well, we play a game where we take two celebrities and Ralph will read the tweets. We have not seen these ahead of time and we're just going to try to guess just based on what we think we know about these celebrities. Who tweeted what?
What's today's grand prize? What does the winner win?
Never have a prize.
Oh, okay.
Nope, just pride.
I thought we were having, this time we'd have a grand prize.
Nope.
All right, you need to tell me, is this Khloe Kardashian or is it Snooki from the Jersey Shore? Which one of these broads tweeted these innocuous?
Now, Beer Mug, are you keeping score for us here? Lisa, we'll have a winner, right?
I'm keeping score. Okay. Beer Mug's going to do the ding and buzz, I think.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Okay, really, my phone needs rehab. It's acting a fool. Snooki.
I think Khloe.
I'm going to go with Khloe as well, I think.
What'd you say, Kevin?
Snook.
You said the Snook.
Yep.
Khloe Kardashian. Nice.
I can't see Snooki using the expression acting a fool. Just didn't sound like her to me. That's why I went Khloe. So
I thought that sounded more to, like Snooki than it did Khloe to me. Hmm. Here we go. Is 7-Up really good for your Christmas tree?
Is 7-Up really good for your Christmas tree?
Yeah, they say if you pour a can of 7-Up or sugary soda in your Christmas tree water, it'll help keep it fresher longer.
Huh.
Is 7-Up really good for your Christmas tree?
I'll say, I'm going to go with the Wookiee again on this one. I'll say Khloe for this one.
Yeah, me too.
I think so too.
Khloe's correct.
I don't think Snooki would have heard of that.
Or wondered if it was actually good for it.
Just ordered our Christmas cards. Yay!
Why tweet that? What's the point of that?
Because you want everyone to know you ordered your Christmas cards.
Come on.
I'm going to go Snooki because she's got the baby.
She's a yay person.
Yeah, I'm going to say Snooki as well. I agree with the kids.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Close
we're not
game
getting
so far.
Better, are we?
Lisa's one, Bean's one, I'm zero.
You guys are getting good. The Dirty Dancing soundtrack makes my life.
Crap.
I'm going to say, wow, who's Khloe is older than Snooki, right, you guys?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think that would be, I think Snooki's a little too young to even know about the Dirty Dancing. I'm going to say Khloe on this one.
I'm going Khloe as well.
That's a good, okay, me too.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get
Snooki
off.
What?
Interesting. I did not see that coming.
Snooki. A zebra and a pony running loose together. Amazing.
I saw that video, by the way. I know what she's
of course
about.
You did.
Was
you
it
all deserve each other.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
A zoo that had some sort of breakout or something like that, and a zebra was chasing a pony down the street in New Jersey. It was crazy times. That's totally Snooki. Got to be Snooki.
That is Snooki. New Jersey.
I'm
Snooki.
Going with Snooki. If Bean saw it.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Old photos of yourself can really be a great motivation.
Wow, they both look terrible when they were younger.
They both look terrible now.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Snooki.
Motivation.
She just
agree.
Has a baby.
I agree with Lisa on this. I'm going to say Snooki.
I'm going to go Khloe.
Khloe.
Nice.
Khloe, it is.
Tied it
do
up.
Do we have a tie game going?
I have one. Dean has one. Lisa has one.
All right.
Bridezilla's too much for me. Ha. Hmm.
I think she's talking about the TV show, or
I'm guessing. Yeah,
people in real life. TV show. Who watches Bridezilla's?
Hmm. Boy, I got no. I got no sense on this at all.
Snooki.
I'll say Khloe just to try to get ahead here.
I think I'm going to go with Snooki as well.
Khloe.
Bean takes the lead.
I literally only picked it to be different from whatever Lisa said, so I just got lucky there. Great.
Is it sad that I get really excited to drink my Starbucks? It makes my day.
Another thing that makes her day?
Yeah.
Someone tweeted this.
I'm going to say Khloe on that one, because I don't know. For some reason, it doesn't seem like Snooki's neighborhood life it would include a Starbucks. Like Khloe's would going back and forth to studios and things like that. I'll say Khloe.
Snooki. It's all about what makes her day.
I'm going to go Khloe.
If one thing leads to another, Snooki! I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Nice, Lisa.
The last one was makes my life, Lisa.
Oh,
it
I'm
makes
sorry.
My day.
Lisa has two, Bean has two, I have one.
Wow, here we go. City traffic is horrible right now. Blah.
Come on. Take that person's Twitter account away. Really?
You should talk.
They're tweeting while driving as well, which is
That's
good.
That's right, yeah.
City traffic.
City traffic.
I'll say Chloe.
I'm going to say...
That's a weak-ass answer right there.
I'm going to say... Where are you going, Lisa?
Well, I was going to go Chloe,
I'm
going
to go Snooki.
All right.
If one thing leads to another, Snooki! I'm not going to tell him to get off.
Are we all tied?
Yep, because Chloe would have put, I think Chloe would have put something about freeways.
Yeah.
That said city.
Cities.
Yeah. How many you got left here, Ralph?
I got a bunch.
Okay.
Do as many as you want.
Well, we got trapped in the closet next, so we all have two, so whoever pulls ahead wins, all right?
This is a quality sudden, hour.
Right.
Sudden death.
Okay.
All right.
Not so much from you, Callie.
Here we go. People can be so freaking rude and judgmental. I feel really bad for the ones that can't deal with people's BS like I can.
Snooki.
I'm going to say Chloe.
I'm going with Chloe, too.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get
off. He takes the win!
Kevin takes the win.
Thanks a lot for playing. Chloe or Snooki, it's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah!
Muse, January 23rd at Staples Center, by the way. As you guys know, we are going to be giving away tickets every day next week here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Fantastic.
How about that?
Can't wait.
Adam Carolla in minutes. Yeah. First, Ralph is here with another installment of Trapped in the Closet, the magnum opus. Is that the right phrase, Ralph, for
the
series of videos and songs from the great R. Kelly, singer-songwriter out of Chicago?
Where Trapped. Are you, Chuck?
Don't know about Chuck, but Trapped in the Closet, episode 26, Ralph. What do you got for us?
This is our third episode into the new batch that R. Kelly has provided us with. And finally, we're starting to address Chuck. And where he may be.
Good.
The first two episodes are mostly about Lucius, the stuttering pimp.
Pimp Lucius.
Tuan and Sylvester. They were lighthearted. They were hilarious. We all had a good laugh at the fact that there's a man with a speech impediment who's selling women for sex, including a blind woman. That was fun. That was a good time.
Name no see ya.
But now we have to get serious. Now we're getting into the emotional truth of the piece, if you will. Rufus and Kathy are meeting their... marriage counselor for the first time. You may remember Rufus is the church pastor, Reverend Rufus, who was having the illicit homosexual affair with Chuck.
Right.
Whereas his wife, Kathy, who by no means is a saint because she was the one sleeping with Sylvester behind Rufus's back. Sylvester was in the closet at the very top of
this is how it all begins.
This whole drama. So they decide they're going to try to work on their relationship, and so they go to meet Dr. William T. Perry, who, of course, is played by R. Kelly. And when they enter the office, I think Dr. Perry really gets immediately to the most important topic at hand.
Rufus, Kathy, how you doing? Come on in, have a seat. Can I get you something to drink? No, I'd rather just get right to it. All right. I'll take a water, Doc. One water coming up. Shirley, can you bring the water in? Evian or sparkling.
Okay.
Sir, would you like that on ice?
All right.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how much time we need to spend about the water.
There can't be that much about the water.
The water that Rufus is going to drink before we start talking about the problem. It's like only a 3 or 4 minute segment, and they spent the first 30 seconds of it.
Wow.
Talking about what kind of water Rufus is going to drink.
Even for this, that's a lot of nothing.
But now, Dr. Perry, now. Starts the session, gets into it. This is what we're going to see.
So you've been having problems in your relationship. I want you to take your time and just elaborate on it.
All right. So here's the problem. Rufus has been sleeping with Chuck. Kathy's been sleeping with Sylvester. And everyone knows their business because you remember what happened. It all went around. There was phone calls being made. Lovers of other lovers were finding about this relationship. They are concerned that everybody knows their business.
Everybody. They know about Chuck, me and you. Yeah, well, what about Sylvester, huh? And you and him.
Yeah.
Do they know about that, too? Yeah, I guess they do. Do you mind if I smoke? Go right ahead.
Okay. So we got the smoking and the water, I think, covered. Now.
Okay.
Now can we move on into the meat of the problem here? And yes, Kathy finally starts to open up.
Just talk about your main concerns and what bothers you about this relationship the most. Kathy, you go first, and Rufus, listen and try to understand. Kathy starts telling the doc how in the beginning everything was fine. Then out of nowhere she starts crying and screaming and pouring everything out on the line.
I think Kathy's biggest concern, and Dr. Perry, I think, as a licensed marriage counselor, would be able to pick up on this.
Play by R. Kelly?
Play by R. Kelly. Hmm. You'd think he'd recognize that Kathy really is concerned that her husband was boning a dude. That probably is the biggest hurdle that they have to get
well,
over in their relationship.
It certainly indicates this is a problem in the marriage.
Yeah.
And everything he told me, I mean everything I believe. And I just don't understand, Doc, how he could want another man over me.
That's a good question. How could Rufus prefer a man over Kathy? Well, Rufus has an explanation. He got a little misguided.
Really? When I first met Kathy, it was just like meeting heaven.
Heaven.
I had just finished school and became a reverend.
Reverend.
And everything I needed, she provided. What happened, Rufus? I met Chuck and somehow got misguided.
He met Chuck and got a little misguided.
You just get a little misguided?
Sometimes you get misguided and a penis gets involved in your orifices.
That's how it works?
That's how it works.
I didn't realize that.
It's like not using GPS. You make a left turn instead of a right turn. Next thing you know, penis.
You're in bed with the dude.
That's right. By the way, the slant rhyme of heaven and reverend, shame on you.
Yeah.
Shame on you, R. Kelly.
Yeah.
Dr. Perry is, he questions the use of the word misguided, saying, you know, you simply strayed off some path.
So you went off the road that you were meant to travel. Yes, I did, despite the fact you knew every word in the Bible.
Okay, travel and Bible. Now I'm really angry. Now I'm really angry.
It ended all.
Now, Rufus, as you can imagine, is taking this opportunity to try to express how sorry he is to his wife, Kathy, about his infidelity. I get that sense because he keeps screaming, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, over and over again throughout the remainder of this episode.
Oh, good.
I'm sorry. Don't look at me, look at Kathy. I'm sorry. Who really went and screwed things up, Rufus? Kathy, please, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's really sorry.
He is sorry.
However, Kathy asks the big question that I think any woman in her right mind in this situation would be asking about the other man.
Tell me this, do you love him? Baby, I'm sorry, sorry. Rufus, do you love him? Help me, Lord. Knock him out of here. I've tried. I've done all I can. Yes, 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 yes. Guess what, Rufus? I still love that man.
Oh, snap.
Yeah,
snap indeed. There's trouble now.
Rufus is still in love with Chuck.
What's Kathy going to do?
Oh.
We have to wait till tomorrow? Order some more water?
I think she's going to have to light up another smoke and see if they have any more Pellegrino in the ante room.
Chapter 27 tomorrow.
Let's do it.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. So many great events happening in Southern California in the month of December, not the least of which is tomorrow night at the Agora Canyon Club. Adam Carolla going to be doing his podcast live with his friend Ball Brad. Allison, of course, is going to be there. And special guest Dr. Drew. We're giving away some tickets right now. If you want to join the Ace Man in person, call 1-800-520-1067. We got 5 winners right now. You also get a meet and greet with Adam and a signed copy of his latest book called Not Taco Bell Material. That's a pretty big Carolla night right there, huh?
Wow, it's a lot of me.
It's a lot of you, Adam. And let me tell you, before we get to the Week in Rage, my friend, I had a million-dollar idea for you if you haven't already thought about this. I was listening to your show the other day, and you have had such incredible guests this year. I mean, Albert Brooks and the Jeff Lynn interview was so great, and Francis Ford Coppola. You need to put out a book with excerpts from all of the great moments from the interviews with the amazing guests that you've had on the podcast over the past few years. Dude, that would be a great read.
Done and done, Bean.
All right. And, it's as easy as that?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Thank God I got nothing on my calendar. So I got plenty of time to sit around.
Plenty of time to write another book, right.
Yeah, but it is cool to hear guys like Jeff Lynn long form, because I've never even heard that guy interviewed, and he's such a legend. And it was just, I didn't know any of that guy's story.
No, and you did a phenomenal job with it. I really wanted to give you a huge props on that. It was so, so fascinating. AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all the podcasts and the upcoming events, including the one tomorrow night at the Agora Canyon Club. We also have Irvine Improv the weekend of December 9th, Hollywood Improv the weekend after that. And, of course, the New Year's Mangria Show. Tickets are on sale for that at the Lovitz as well. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, start. starting at 3 and working my way up to number 1. And speaking of numbers, California, worst run state in the union.
All right.
50th worst run. And by the way, worst run, I think, is about the biggest slap in the face you can give a state. Because, you know, you could say fattest, and you could go, yeah, we like our Mexican food here. Or you could go, you know, ugliest. You could do anything. But worst run just means you have it, you're just not using it.
Right.
And I just realized California, we get by on our looks. We rely so heavily on this ocean and Pacific Coast Highway and the mountains and the fact that during the Rose Parade, it's 70 and spectacular in Pasadena, and everyone else is snowed in Wisconsin. We're just like a hot blonde chick who likes to party and doesn't really want to study much. Like, I mean, seriously, if we didn't have the Pacific Ocean, we'd be working much harder, right?
Well, yeah, we'd have to.
Yeah, we all cruise. So we're like the hot blonde who just wants to party and have a good time and doesn't really want to crack the books. Unfortunately, we just turned 40, and we got a little C-section scar and some crow's feet, and the guys who wanted to bang us are moving to Texas.
Yeah.
That's California in a nutshell. By the way, who's number one? Who's the best?
Yeah,
run
I don't
state?
Know. I would have no
I
idea.
Haven't heard who?
North Dakota, the fat chick that puts out.
Oh, look at that. There it is.
Never stop. Only stop studying to give you a handy. That's North Dakota. So you're North Dakota. You better work, baby.
That's right. Yeah. You have to put out more.
You don't have a place called Malibu.
Right.
You got to get busy. You got Malibu rum. Now finish it off and get the sack.
Yeah, the only thing you have in North Dakota is that you can drive to South Dakota to see Mount Rushmore. That's about it.
I know. And by the way, how many times do people live in North Dakota have to get the, well, at least you got the Mount, oh.
That's the other one.
So you got nothing. All right, number two. I've been doing a lot of traveling, and I figured out that we're outgrowing our country, meaning we're getting not only bigger, and we all know about that, but we're getting taller, too. We're just, people are just larger, and airplane seats are getting smaller. But we haven't, like, raised the heights of sinks or toilets or any of that stuff. And I was in the Seattle airport, Bean, and I was standing there, and the bathroom urinals at the airport, they either have no divider, which is absolutely insane in 2012, that I got to be getting the secondhand whiz going from the guy standing next to me.
Right.
But also, when you do have the divider, it's low enough so that I can still see you shaking your dingleberry over the top of it.
Well, why don't you stop looking?
I'm 6'2". Well, first off, it's weird when you're just staring at the grout in the top in front of you. It looks bizarre. You look like a serial killer where you just stare straight ahead. You're like you're some kind of Marine during inspection with your penis out. A bizarre Marine inspection. But by the way, it's one of these things. It's like when I'm driving, I'm looking straight ahead, but if someone walks by me, I still see them on the curb. Like I have peripheral vision. I can't help it.
All right.
But I'm just saying, Bean, you're 6'6", 6'7", raise
right.
that thing up. Like, the divider needs to be raised a little bit. How could it hurt? What's it there for? So our balls don't communicate? Well, raise it up. Because I don't care how high it is off the floor. It's more the eye contact than the schmeckle contact that I'm trying to avoid.
Sure.
I agree. A little bit of privacy. That's all you're asking
Get
for,
it
sure.
Off the ground, baby. And number one, this is a million-dollar idea. Literally a million-dollar idea. I have nothing but 20s. We've talked about this before because ATMs spit out 20s. Nobody goes to the bank anymore. You just go to the ATM, and so I always have a wallet full of 20s, and then I get in this super uncomfortable situation where I'm leaving the hotel, and the guy grabs my bag, and the cab is 8 feet away,
right.
And then I grab it and go, no, I got it. And he goes, no, no problem. And we start wrestling over this thing like a couple of pit bulls going after a rope toy. And the reason I have to fight the guy for my bag in the lobby of the hotel is because all I have is 20s.
And you're not going to tip him that.
I can't give him 20 for walking the bag 9 feet.
And no, you're an a-hole no. if you ask for change.
I'm an a-hole if I ask for change.
I only have a 20, but if he does get hold of the bag and throw it into the trunk of the cab, then I'm the guy from the man show who doesn't tip.
Right. It's lose-lose, my friend.
Lose-lose. And, you know, I realize all I have is 20. They need to now, if all they're going to do is kick out 20s from ATMs, they need to now have a 20 that's perforated down the middle, and you just rip it right in half and hand it to a guy. It's $10. When he combines it with his other half that he got from the last guy who left the hotel, now he's back to 20. He get a piece of my 20.
I'm not sure that's a literal million-dollar idea.
Literally $1 million. I mean, literally, Kevin, it's literally $1 million. But I would happily pull out my 20 and tear the perforated one in half and hand it to
But what
Kevin
if he Pep. Takes too long? If he takes too long, then you need to tear it in fourths.
Well, I do like the $5 split on right. the thing as well. I'm just saying, I think a lot of people are getting stiffed. I don't think a lot of waiters and waitresses and bellhops and people like that, I don't think they're getting rich because everyone's handing them 20s. I think they're getting stiffed because yeah. everyone's scared to go for the wallet because it's nothing but 20s, and they would have got $5 in the past.
Right. I never thought I would wake up today and have to be hearing about perforated money. That just was not even on the agenda at all. All right, somebody run with that. AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all the upcoming events, including, don't forget, tomorrow night at the Agora Canyon Club with special guest Dr. Drew, then the Irvine and Hollywood Improvs are coming up, and the Love It Show New Year's Eve weekend. Don't forget to buy your Mangria for all your holiday parties, and it makes a fantastic Christmas gift as well. Ace Man, you're the best. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Thanks.
Enjoy festivities now through December 31st. Visit Legoland.com for details. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world-famous K-Rock at 8:57 or 8:54. Take your choice.
Sure. You choose.
You choose
which what time it is.
Whatever one you want.
That's the magic of Kevin and Bean Show. You get to pick what time it is.
Right.
Isn't it 1709?
It's 8:54.
Is this thing on? Can you guys hear
yep.
me? If you have a phone and would like to join us this weekend for the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, and you can afford to be on hold for a few minutes, call now. 1-800-520-1067. That is the number. We're going to give you a chance to beat Beer Mug coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. It's 11:15.
You know, we were whatever.
It's 11:29. We were talking about, earlier in the week, about Psy, about this pudgy little Korean.
Yep.
Who's got the biggest YouTube hit in the history of YouTube.
Yeah, like 900 million views or something insane, right?
Gangnam Style is rapidly approaching 1 billion views. And where I was wondering aloud how much money, sure, he's getting 1 billion views, how much money is this dude going
to
make?
It's a good question.
How
to,
rich is this guy going
to
be?
It's hard to guess that
Does
for one song.
Does this translate into money, or is this all just fame and attention, and will he be working at the Gangnam Style restaurant in Koreatown in 6 months.
Because it doesn't cost us anything to go to YouTube and watch it, so right. how is he getting paid?
Well, YouTube does slap commercial endorsements on their most popular videos.
Oh, okay, so he gets
and
some of that?
And the source of that video does get a piece of the advertising pie from the money that YouTube makes off of that ad placement.
All right.
But it turns out to be negligible, really. Let's say... let's see, 1 billion views. Psy won't even make $1 million from the advertising from 1 billion
wow,
views.
A billion ripped off.
To make about $870,000 from ads that show during the video on YouTube.
It's a lot, but it's certainly not going to last him forever.
Right. Happily for him, though, the iTunes downloads pay significantly more. 2.7 million iTunes downloads for Gangnam Style will get him about $2.4 million in income.
All right.
Apple takes about 30% of the download price.
Okay.
So that's pretty good, 2.4.
Yeah, $1.29 a song. Yeah, that works out to real cash. That's a lot of money off of that.
The streaming service in South Korea that also streams the song, and he gets about 0.02 cents every time that song is played. That'll net him another $61,000.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Here's where he's making most of his money. First of all, in commercial endorsements... Using the song for commercials or him appearing in commercials will net him this year $4.6 million.
Wow.
Whoa.
Samsung is using him. LG is using him in his native South Korea especially. That's where he's making his real money.
That's now we're starting to add up to some real bucks here.
Yeah, but none of this came from the song, mind you. This is additional income he's making just from being famous, from being on the internet. That's where he's making the majority of his money.
Yeah.
The rest of his income, and they speculate he'll make about $8 million this year from this whole phenomenon. The rest of the money comes from, interestingly enough, the fact that his family owns 30% of a corporation in South Korea that makes computer chips.
Okay.
Actually, it makes equipment companies use to make computer chips. So it doesn't even make the chips. But since the sale of the... Since the Gangnam Style was released, the sale of the price of stock in that company has doubled.
What?
No kidding.
So the majority of the money he's going to make is going to come from stock in his family's company that makes equipment that makes computer chips.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it helps to come from money, even if you're Psy. It helps to have,
wow,
rich family members who own a company someplace. But all in said, about $7.9 million this year in income. Just from the phenomenon that is Gangnam Style.
From riding an invisible horse, essentially.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. I think it's BS that you can have a billion views on YouTube and only make less than $1 million from the advertising revenue generated.
Yeah, because what did they make?
They control the
right,
the distribution. Yeah. You know? That's the key. It's either you got to be the manufacturer or you got to be in distribution. If you're just a cog in the wheel, people, you get screwed. Be the 99%, man, not the 1%.
I don't think
right. Yeah.
Famous man once said that.
That's right, which is a bad idea. You're better off being the 1%, just in case you're following at home. Yeah, please. Looks like it's going to be a mini Cheers reunion in a new sitcom starring Kirstie Alley. She's got a new show for TV Land called Giant Baby, where she will play a giant baby.
Seriously?
No, it's not. Okay, no. It's called Giant Baby. She plays a Broadway star whose life is turned upside down when her long-lost adult son shows up on her doorstep. See, she's never seen her son before, and he shows up, and it's like having a giant baby.
I see.
Rhea Perlman will play her assistant and best friend. So Carla from Cheers, along with Kirstie Alley from Cheers, will be starring together on TV Land. TV Land has become the love boat of TV networks. It's where former TV stars go to die.
That's true.
When their careers are over, they just give them a show on TV Land and just let them live out their lives peacefully there until they
circle
pass
the
away.
Drain for another year.
You got Betty White over there. You got who is Fatty McVan Halen's wife?
Valerie Bertinelli.
You've got she's over there, and now you've got Kirstie Alley and Rhea Perlman over there. It's just quite the cemetery they're running over there. God bless them. Speaking of old TV shows, anybody remember a TV show called Ironside?
Yeah, yes. The great Raymond Burr, detective.
No. Easy, I don't take it easy. Raymond Burr.
In a wheelchair.
He was a cop in a wheelchair. That's right, Lisa. He was a detective.
He was a lawyer?
Who was paralyzed from the waist down. Now, he was also Perry Mason, famously on television, but Perry was not in a wheelchair.
I see.
Ironside was a detective who was injured in line of duty, and he was paralyzed. He was in a wheelchair, but he still solved crimes from his wheelchair with the help of his crack team of young, healthy people around him.
That was a good show, and I'm fascinated to know why it is on your radar in 2012.
And you bring that up because
NBC has announced they are rebooting Ironside for a television screen near you.
Huh.
The return of the paralyzed cop. Finally. Finally, we get to see more cops in wheelchairs. Ironside coming back to TV.
How is that better than a new idea?
It is not.
It's not at all, right?
I would suggest to you it's not.
Did they reboot Perry Mason with another actor a few years ago? Did they have some sort of New Adventures of Perry Mason or something like that, too?
I know Raymond Burr, towards the end of his life, did a ton of TV movies.
Yeah, very successful TV movies.
Yeah. I don't know if they brought Perry back or not. I just want to see Cripple Cop.
That's no, you don't. You don't want to see that at all. Yeah. Unless it's a musical. Now I'm in.
And it looks like George Clooney's on his way to just another smash hit movie. He has announced his next film is called The Monuments Men. This is a film based on a true life story about a team of U.S. and British art experts and museum workers who helped the military track down stolen art items that the Nazis stole during World War II.
I've already seen that on White Collar.
Yeah, I know. Very, very similar concept. But listen to this cast that Clooney is assembled. He will be directing the film. He will be starring in the film alongside Daniel Craig, Bill Murray, Kate Blanchett, Jean Dujardin from The Artist, John Goodman, and Matt Damon.
Wow.
Oh my God.
I'm in.
That is a cast.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. I guess Clooney's one of those guys, if he calls you up, you say yes.
Agreed.
And then you just go do whatever he says. John Goodman, by the way, is in every movie now made in America.
Yeah, he is.
It's a new law that Obama passed while we weren't looking. Every movie has to have John Goodman in it.
Lisa, if George Clooney calls you, whatever he asks, you say yes, right?
Whatever.
Yeah.
It does not matter.
Yeah. What if he asks for the...
Whatever.
Two-handed teepee.
Does not matter.
What if he wants the scoop du jour?
Did you not hear me?
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Little Richard is 80 years old today. Johnny Resnick of Goo Goo Dolls is 47. Margaret Cho, she writes comedian on her tax form.
Mm-hmm.
I know that much. She's 44. Actress Amy Acker from Dollhouse and Alias is 36. Nick Stahl from Terminator 3 and Carnival is 33. Jessica Perret, she's Mrs. Don Draper on Mad Men, and she was also in Hot Tub Time Machine. She's 30 years old. And actor Frankie Muniz, best known as Malcolm in the Middle, is 27.
Don't forget, he was also Agent Cody Banks, goddammit.
Oh, that's right.
That always gets glossed over. I will not have that.
Who was yelling at you?
Agent Cody Banks.
Somebody was yelling at you.
Yeah,
for
I
that.
Got an angry email.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
That's All Be Gone, by the way, the very latest from Linkin Park here on the world-famous K-Rock. They are headlining night number one of the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows. They're happening this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at the Gibson. We've got pit tickets, guys, and backstage passes to both shows right now with a game that we like to call Beat Beer Mug.
It's time to be beer mug.
No.
It's time to be beer mug.
No.
It's time to be beer mug. Let's beat them to death. Oh, yeah.
That's awfully violent. The game is kind of a spin-off, if you will, of Lick Lisa. In that game, Lisa gives the answer to the question that's a number, then the caller says higher or lower, and they get a chance to win either way, no matter what Lisa's guess is. This game's a little tougher because Beer Mug has to be right on with the answer. If he doesn't guess the exact number that we're looking for based on the question, well, he's wrong, and if the listener says he's wrong, then they're going to go into the drawing to win the ticket.
So we go to the listener, we're just going to ask right or wrong.
It's pretty much BS.
Yeah, totally. All right.
But you certainly have the opportunity, as you know, Beer Mug, to answer any of these questions correctly, right?
Yeah, one in 1 billionth.
Yeah, Bean.
All right, who's our first contestant?
Mark is on fire today.
Yes.
Our first contestant is Kathy, a receptionist. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, good morning.
All right, good luck, Kathy. Listen up. We were just playing the new Linkin Park song. Linkin Park is the name of the largest public park in the city of Chicago, stretching for 7 miles on the city's north side and facing beautiful Lake Michigan. The park has 15 baseball fields, 6 basketball courts, and Beer Mug, how many volleyball courts in Chicago's Linkin Park? How many volleyball courts? Please be exact.
I'm going to go ahead and say 106.
106. Kathy, is that right or wrong?
He's wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah, he is wrong. You're right. 163 is the correct answer.
That was close.
So, kind of close, but you are in the drawing, and everybody else gets the Beat Beer Mug.
Beat Beer Mug!
Ah! Oh, ow, Chip! Holy crap!
She's using her fist.
She's holding a newspaper and using her fist.
Not so much for you.
Ow!
By the way, you know how there are rules in Lick Lisa where you're not allowed to lick her? There are no rules in Beer Mug. You can hit them wherever you want.
David is a probation officer. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good luck. Listen up. Speaking of garbage, who is also on the bill this weekend, the City of Los Angeles Bureau of Sanitation is in charge of collecting, cleaning, and recycling solid and liquid waste in the city of L.A. and surrounding communities. According to their website, Beer Mug, how many dedicated employees does the L.A. Bureau of Sanitation have? Please be exact.
I don't know. One dedicated employee.
Yep, that's it. One.
There's only one dedicated.
I think David said wrong, and of course the answer is wrong. 2,800 is what we were looking for. Congratulations, you beat Beer Mug.
That's not enough.
Can we even it out? Can we even it out, please? Can I get on the right side?
Nope.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Melissa in administration.
No back of the head, Dave.
Hey, Mug, shut up. Nobody wants to hear from you.
Well, I'm getting beat over here.
No, that's the point.
I don't care.
What is wrong with you? Hi, Melissa.
Good morning.
Game is called Beat Beer Mug, and he's somehow surprised that he's getting beaten.
Right.
All right.
I'd rather lick Lisa, but okay.
No,
I know. We're right there with you, sweetie. The Killers are headlining night number two this weekend. Speaking of Killers, according to the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, how many prisoners were on death row in the United States as of their last count on April 1st, 2012? How many death row prisoners in the U.S. back in April, Muggs?
Who cares? They're all going to die.
Melissa, right or wrong?
Actually, technically,
wrong.
He's right.
His answer is wrong because we were looking for 3,170. Congratulations, you beat Beer Mug.
Done. All right. And we got time for one more.
Dave has a bag with oranges in it.
Is
that fair?
We have time for one more. This is Matthew, a Cal State Long Beach student. Hi, Matthew.
Hello. Good morning.
Matthew, the band Fun is going to be playing this weekend. Fun, period, I should say, to be precise. There are lots of ways, of course, to have fun. You can go to an amusement park. You can play golf, whatever you're into. Here's your question, though, Beer Mug. According to Straight.com's 2011 sex survey, what percentage of women say they have had a threesome?
All.
That's the kind of fun I'm talking about.
No.
What percentage of women say they have had a threesome?
All.
You're not even trying
mad
now.
He's
not
even show us.
Matthew, is it all?
Wrong.
Yeah, it is wrong. I'm sorry, the answer we're looking for was 32.5%. So congratulations, Matt. You beat Beer Mug also.
Nicely done.
Chip.
All right, Kathy, David, Melissa, and Matthew all in the drawing to win tickets in the pit and backstage passes to both nights. Lisa May, who's our winner?
Oh, Matthew is so lucky.
Yay! Yes, he is.
Yes!
Matthew, congratulations. Woo! Both Holy nights. God! Nicely Woo! Done. We'll see you on Saturday night.
Thank you.
You bet.
Fire,
all right.
Fire, beer mug. Fire, beer mug. We found something he's actually good for. But now we can't fire him because we really want to beat him again.
K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We had No Doubt In not too long ago, and I had him sign a guitar for the charity. If you'd like to go to that auction, you can go to eBay and search Friends and Helpers.
Awesome.
And there's a bunch of items up there, including a guitar signed by the entire band of No Doubt.
Wow, that's a nice item.
Yeah.
Hey, this weekend, UFC on Fox returns. What a great lineup. Not only do you get to see, Benson Henderson versus Nate Diaz, which is just a match made in heaven, but Shogun is on the bill. Our friend BJ Penn, who, by the way, is on the phone with us, is back. He is fighting as a welterweight again, this time against Rory McDonald. BJ, Kevin, is a guy who's just been lounging in Hawaii for the last year. Just been hanging out, living the Aloha lifestyle. And for some reason, he's crazy enough to go, I'm going to leave this behind for the weekend and go into the octagon and beat a dude up. BJ, why? What's going on, man? You're living the dream life right now.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I don't know. Something just got in me. I got that itch. And next thing I knew, Dana White was saying, okay, you're fighting December 8th in Seattle.
You're like, all right.
The rest is history.
Good enough.
Now, 14 months is a long time to go between fights, but you don't strike me as the kind of guy who let himself go, right?
No, I did. I did. I let myself go for a while. It was tough. It was tough to get back in shape, but I'm in great shape right now, and a lot of people are going to be like, "Oh yeah, you're in great shape. What's great shape for you? You never come into a fight in shape." But I think a lot of people are going to be surprised, and a lot of heads are going to turn when we step in the octagon.
That's probably been the biggest knock on you is that they think you have the most raw talent, but that you haven't trained quite hard enough or quite as hard as other fighters. What do you say? That's kind of dogged you your whole career.
Yeah, you know what In my defense, I would say that I have trained hard. I've made some mistakes along the way. I haven't got along with coaches. We got different ideas and this and that, and it never worked out. And me and the coaches not getting along gets me stressed out and different things, and it just always turns into a bad situation. But this time, fortunately, it didn't happen that way.
Good. BJ, you're one of only, I think, two fighters in the UFC history who has held a belt in two weight classes, right? Are you most comfortable? Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say.
Not bad for a guy that doesn't train, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. I mean, it's obviously you and Randy, I think, are the only ones who have ever done it. Are you most comfortable as a welterweight? You and your opponent both are going in at 170. Is that your favorite weight?
As of this moment, at 33 years old, and I'm going to be 34 on December 13th. As of this moment, right now, I really am very comfortable at fighting at 170 pounds. I like it.
What do you walk around as now?
Right now, I am 170 pounds.
All right.
Huh.
That'll work.
You mentioned 33, almost 34, and that has to be a factor because McDonald is 23. I mean, think about when you were 23. You've got so much more experience, but 10 years makes a big difference in your line of work. How do you think that plays out, the old age versus experience this time?
I think my body's young enough as far as injuries go. You know, if I did my career perfect and everything went how it was supposed to be, people would be saying that I'm in the prime of my life. But things didn't work out that way, so everybody looks at me and says, this guy's on his way out.
Does this
that's my job now.
That's my job to go and prove them wrong, though.
Does that put extra pressure on you?
Nope, not at all, actually. It adds is more motivation and more, you know, just more of a reason. That's my reason right there.
BJ Penn on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the UFC on Fox, which is a tremendous lineup starting at 5 o'clock, even West Coast time. They do these fights live. What was the reaction from your friends and family when you started getting serious about fighting again, BJ? Because I imagine there's a sense of relief among people who love you when you escape a sport unharmed.
Yeah, my family was my family was like, if you do it properly, if you prepare properly, and all my friends were just happy. They're like, yes, we're so happy that you're back in there. We get to watch this. So that's what it was. My family was like, you know, just make sure that you go in the ring prepared. And all my friends, they were just ecstatic I was coming back.
Now, that's good. It's nice to have that support. Now, we don't know much about Rory McDonald. I've never seen him fight. Tell me about this guy.
He's good. He's a big and strong guy. They say he's probably at like 200 pounds. They say he walks around at 200 pounds. He's probably at 190 pounds right now while I'm actually on weight. But, you know, he can kickbox, he can wrestle, and he can do jiu-jitsu. He does it all. He comes from Team TriStar with George St. Pierre and Faraz Zahabi and all those guys. So he's going to be well prepared, and he's got everything on his side, you know, to prepare well. But I don't know. To me, it's wrong guy, wrong time. He's stepping into the ring with the wrong guy at the wrong time.
How much, and you don't have to worry about this, but how much does it hurt a fighter to cut 20 pounds to get to weight?
I honestly believe that's the worst thing you could possibly do. I don't know. I haven't been able to prove it or pull it off all the time, but how can that be good? How can that be good to take away all your, to cut 20 pounds today and fight tomorrow?
Yeah.
It just
doesn't
make sense to me. I don't care how many different ways people do it. You know, we know that people do all kind of tricky things in sports and try to do all these different things. But I don't care how you do it. It doesn't make sense in my point of view.
Yeah, it's a mystery. It certainly is a mystery. Well, none of us could do or would do your job, BJ, but you have always been one of our favorites. It's always been so much fun to watch you fight. We're so excited to have you back. And UFC on Fox, by the way, for folks who haven't been paying attention, they just think the UFC is pay-per-view. They started this Fox thing early this year, and it has just been so much fun. And there have been some great fights on the network, and I think we're going to see a bunch of them this Saturday night from Seattle, UFC on Fox. BJ Penn, we wish you the best of luck, my friend. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you guys very much for having me on. You guys take care.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
How soon until that song starts showing up in like a JCPenney commercial?
Sale.
For all their Christmas items they're trying to move.
That's true. No,
good
sale.
Point.
Sale. I don't have to pay regular price. Sale. Telling you, somebody should get on that. It's literally a $1 million idea.
It is.
Literally. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Good news for Seinfeld fans. He was recently named the greatest sitcom in the history of television in a poll that was done by 60 Minutes and Vanity Fair magazine. Congratulations.
That's saying something, by the way.
It is. There's been a lot of good sitcoms in the past. Seinfeld, number one.
And you guys, when we talked about this earlier, you guys both agreed that that was the best sitcom of all time.
Yeah, I think only because of its unique storytelling quality. Because it was literally, and I know it's a cliche by now, it's been said so many times, a show about nothing.
Yeah.
No real strong concept. It wasn't about people who worked together in a newsroom or a bar or something. It didn't have a strong hook to it. It was just four people who talked about stuff.
Yeah.
It was like unlike anything we'd ever seen on television or have seen since, although a lot of shows have tried to emulate it since and not with little success. But, I think it is unique.
I didn't see enough of it to, you know, ever fall in love with it. But, I mean, I know that I have enjoyed Curb Your Enthusiasm more than Seinfeld. And the British version of The Office I thought was funnier than Seinfeld. I mean, there are other shows that just come to mind for me way more than that.
There have been other shows that make me laugh more.
Yeah.
That's true. But in terms of all the pieces just being special, yeah, I think Seinfeld would have to rank number one. Got 22% of the vote in this online poll. Honeymooners, great Jackie Gleason sitcom, which still makes me laugh today. And that's, what now, 60 years old, this show?
I don't know.
Second on the list, then Friends, Cheers, and Arrested Development were your top five.
Mary Tyler Moore Show was 6th. 30 Rock was 7th with 5% of the vote. No, Dick Van Dyke Show in there. That's another one of my favorites.
That's another one. I'm right there with you.
Yeah, it's a classic.
And by the way, the Gary Shandling Show comes to mind as maybe being in the top 10 for me.
I think Shandling, what Shandling did was the foundation on which Seinfeld was built, because that was the next level. But that was also a brilliantly funny show. The reason I bring it up is because Jason Alexander, who of course played George Costanza on Seinfeld, he is guest starring in an upcoming episode of Community. That should be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Him and his new hair is going to be on Community. I wonder, how do you make that decision when you've been known to us as a bald guy for 20 years, and then you just show up on television with hair someday? You think everyone's going to say, that's Jason Alexander. Nobody's going to notice?
I don't know. Good question.
Remember how many different kinds of transplants, hair plugs, and toupees it took before Elton John finally ended up with something that looked good?
Yeah.
Remember all the different hair? At one point, he was almost bald.
But it's one thing if you're a comb-over guy or a toupee guy or whatever, and you finally come up with the solution. That's one thing. Like Shatner finally got it right.
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 You know,
right.
He eventually found a plug doctor that made it work for him. It looks good now.
But was trying to get there the whole time.
But it was always covering his head with something.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So we were used to seeing him with some sort of hair hat on.
Right.
George Costanza, Jason Alexander, bald as cue ball for a long, 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 long time. Suddenly hair. It's a little, right. A little disconcerting when you see him initially.
And became internationally famous as a bald guy.
Wasn't like it was hurting his career in any way. Then he had to put the hair on. Stop it. Just saying. It's weird. Looking forward to that. Lady Gaga did some shopping over the weekend.
Okay.
LA Times says she picked up 55 personal items that belonged to Michael Jackson at a big Beverly Hills auction over the weekend. 465 lots were on sale, including costumes and props used by Michael over the years. Gaga bought 55 of them. That makes sense, because she is sort of our modern-day Michael Jackson.
I don't know
just
that
a weirdo, just a strange, strange person. I wasn't surprised if she has the Elephant Man's bones somewhere in her house.
Yeah.
He's a nice, odd duck. And I thought, while we're talking about music, this was interesting. For years, and I did not know this, and I consider myself a solid Beatles fan, Beatles music was banned in Russia for decades now. It's been banned in Russia. You can't listen to the Beatles in Russia. Finally, the Beatles music is now available legally in Russia. For many years, there were bootleg black market albums were sold on vinyl and downloads. But now, for the first time ever, you can legally get Beatles music in Russia via iTunes. Apple has just expanded iTunes into Russia.
Huh.
So now Beatles fans there can download Beatles music legally.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
Beatles music back in the USSR for the first time in a long, long time. So it's good for those guys.
I don't get it.
Just get past you.
Well done.
Thank you. Storage Wars. I'm worried. Dave Hester may be out. RadarOnline.com's got the story about the bigwigs over at A&E who didn't appreciate the fact that Hester wouldn't sign his contract. He was sent the contract. Deal was made. But the offer was rescinded. He's been locked out of the program now because he just wouldn't settle the terms with A&E. So now the Yup guy may be out of the picture.
Yep.
It's okay. They got a bunch of douchebags over there. They're sitting in for him. I watched the show this week. And as long as Barry's there, it's all I care about. I just love me some Barry. Barry's the best.
I can't get into anything with Storage Wars.
Oh, Kevin, you're missing out.
You sure do have storage units.
And I'll tell you something else. I'll tell you something else. Toy Hunter's never been stronger than it has been the past couple weeks.
That's bad TV.
Some of the classic moments of Toy Hunter. F you, by the way. Swamp Wars, Whisker Wars, you mother effer.
I have good
taste.
You're
mocking my Toy Hunter and my Storage Wars when you're watching Duck Dynasty, whatever the hell it is you're watching over there.
Mine are much worse, but much more entertaining.
You refuse to watch any show that has people with teeth.
That's correct.
That's your criteria.
That is one of my criteria, yes.
You like the toothless, bearded people.
Yep.
What's the one about moonshine? Is Stillwalkers or
Moonshiners.
It's Moonshiners, yeah.
It's a good one.
Didn't know about
another
that one.
Bunch of toothless country Fs just walking around the forest. Every goddamn show like that is the same thing.
Those guys
a swamp fish. Or a forest or a crick. I don't know.
Love
I do
it.
Not appreciate America's love with the...
love it. It's more than a storage unit.
The deliverance crowd. No, it's not. At least that has something content to it. Something interesting. You learn
you
about
don't know
stuff.
That. Who wants to learn about stuff?
A bunch of banjo-picking, inbred, toothless, bearded, moonshine-drinking, swamp gator-eating, backwoods.
You just described
humping.
TLC.
Yeah, I know. The Freak Channel. Alex Winter. probably best known as Bill from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Starred in those films with Keanu Reeves. They're coming back, too, by the way. They're making another Bill and Ted.
Great.
Yeah. He just got a gig. He's going to be a show on AMC about a sheriff who forms his own militia in Wisconsin, becoming both the law and an outlaw simultaneously. He'll be starring in that series.
Yeah. All right.
Does that sound interesting to anybody?
I don't know. It depends on who does it.
Yeah.
Sounds like it could be good if it's done right.
And great story about Nick Lachey over the past weekend. He was at Chargers Stadium last weekend to watch his beloved Cincinnati Bengals play the Chargers, and he was kicked out of the stadium. Here's what happened. I got this information from various sources, but apparently he was being a drunken douchebag, loud, obnoxious a-hole, spouting off about the Chargers and a specific player in general when a woman in front of him, where he was sitting, turned around and said, "Well, he's going to have a longer career than your lame boy band."
Oh, no, she didn't.
By all accounts, that's when Nick Lachey lost it, started going off on her, screaming obscenities. The woman's husband stepped in. There was a physical altercation, and Nick Lachey, by all accounts, grabbed him by the throat and threw him to the ground. He was tossed out of the stadium. Instead of being apologetic or even ashamed, he tweeted that he couldn't be prouder to be kicked out of the game and bragged that his Bengals still won. To which I would respond, they are still the Bengals, sir.
Right, and you're still Nick Lachey.
Yeah, that's right. Doesn't change a thing.
And I don't think you even get a full game in the win column if you beat the Chargers anyway, do you?
They are struggling this year. Boy, yeah. A lot of teams are struggling this year.
They are.
My Eagles amongst them the most. Just hard to watch. So many formerly good teams really having a hard time. I was thinking this morning, the NFC has been dominant for so long, but I think the AFC teams are just coming on. You look at the Peyton Manning-led Broncos.
Yep.
Look at the Titans.
Texans.
Texans, rather.
Yep, Texans.
It's a lot of good team ball being played by the AFC. Let's take a look at the celebrity birthdays. Frankie Muniz from Malcolm in the Middle, 27 years old today. The lovely and talented Jessica Paré from Mad Men and Hot Tub Time Machine is 30 years old. Nick Stahl from Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, also starred on HBO's Carnival. That was a great show. 33 years old today. Amy Acker from Dollhouse and Alias is 36. Margaret Cho is 34. Johnny Resnick of the Goo Goo Dolls is 47 years old. And legendary rock and roller Little Richard, one of the architects of rock and roll, celebrates his 80th birthday today. And, of course, our very own Charles, our security guard, was the drummer for that band for many years.
Absolutely.
Created the backbeat of rock and roll. And now he's ushering guests into our show. He must just hate us.
Couldn't be a happier guy.
Couldn't have more talent. Couldn't be more important in the history of music.
Yeah.
And he has to deal with yahoos like us every day.
Right, but still super happy.
Very nice to us.
How
but I think secretly he's plotting our death. Or at least he should be. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have Dr. Drew. We have W. Kamau Bell in the studio. We have Skateboarder Danny Way on the program. We have Trapped in the Closet, Chapter 27. Top 10 Internet Roundup for the year. The Grammy nominations are tonight, so we're going to talk to an LA Times music critic, Randall Roberts, tomorrow morning. And we have Imagine Dragons in the studio tomorrow.
Fire,
yes, there's that.
Fire, fire,
maybe tomorrow's the day, you guys. Maybe tomorrow's the day. That's the power that gets me out of bed every morning.
Fingers.